Yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addie and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addie.
Hey, yo, I'm Mo, and I make a confession publicly here that I've already lost out on my New Year's resolution for this year.
To stop eating?
No, I'd be dead.
Oh.
No, truthfully, though, it
you
was...
You'd probably survive for a couple weeks.
Yeah, it was to not be fat.
Oh.
I've also failed already 2014's New Year's resolution.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, the funny thing is that half of your belly is actually already in 2014. So that's why we do this show, for the inside scoops that your belly already knows about.
I've been a prognosticator on more than one occasion. Now, it is, of course, WQW, which means two things. Number one, of course, profanity.
Fuck yeah.
And number two, that we talk wrestling.
Yes. My New Year's resolution, by the way, is to not be an asshole. So far, so good.
All right.
Wrestling, you say?
You can't top that. All right. There we go.
2013 we are underway. Monday Night Raw, the 3-hour edition, which I guess part and parcel of that, just to kind of get a side note, no plans to go down to 2 hours till at least after WrestleMania.
No.
At this point, probably not till a while after that.
Well,
if they're strong
going into the Mania season, if the ratings are strong going into and coming out of Mania. Which, I mean, this week they're talking about strong ratings. It's funny how 3.1 is now a strong rating, when 3.1 used to be what we used to look at and say, how has it gone in the toilet?
Well, let's compare that. 3.1 from The Rock's return is considered a strong rating. 3.1 when the unadvertised Rock return as the guest host of WrestleMania 2 years ago got a 3.1 considered a disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well,
You know, two years later.
That wasn't against, the BCS or anything like that, though, right? I don't think the competition.
No, that was in February.
Exactly. So nevertheless, it just is. There was a point where if they were, doing 3.6s, they would drop to a 3.2 and say, "What a disappointment! The ratings are going in the toilet." Now 3.1 is, wow, what a strong night. But it really was, though, because I had predicted going into the night a 2.8, if you recall.
Yeah,
I think
true.
I was last week.
And the BCS game was the second most watched television program.
Very popular. And, and this was the interesting trend on this show is, of course, the third hour gaining viewers instead of the normal trend.
Conceivably with the overrun.
Yeah, I'm not even sure what the overrun did.
I don't either, but that was
I'm sure it was massive. And, of course, that was with Punk and Rock. And what do you think of Punk Rock?
Punk Rock round one.
I'm a Punk Rock fan myself.
That was tremendous. That was tremendous.
Rancid. Social Distortion.
Well,
the Moans, of course.
Explains a lot, Social Distortion in you.
Big fan of Social D.
Or is he related to Heavy D?
Anyways.
Rock Punk Volume 1, Round 1, was tremendous, I thought.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
I enjoyed the sort of the pseudo pipe bomb getting over the fact that they did come out and say it, but it was under the fact, that the people don't matter, and the people's champ come out, defends the people. They've always mattered, you know, that way. Rock did his tired old shtick. Punk called him out on using the tired old shtick. And
I loved the tired old shtick.
Well, you liked it more than I did. I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
But
He made me laugh like 3 times.
Did not blow me away.
Oh, I thought he was great. I thought both guys were great. What I loved, to me, the dynamic that worked better was last year you had a Rock being funny against a guy who was trying to be cute and funny. This year, the fact that you don't have that, the fact you had somebody who was serious and a straight man, I think made the dynamic work much better. I think it made the Rock seem more dynamic, but it also made the other guy seem like a hated heel, but also a dangerous dude. So I just think the dynamic is already working much better than Cena did and The Rock. I liked it a lot.
This dynamic to me actually is funny because in a lot of ways it reminded me of Hogan and Shawn Michaels. When Shawn was just The one promo they did where Sean is like, you know, you're saying that I can't hang and you're not in my league, well, I'm going to show you.
Yeah.
And Hogan doing his Hoganisms, just like The Rock's doing his Rockisms. And Punk sat there and just said, like, you can make fun of me all you want. You can use your millions and your finales and your catchphrases, but I'm going to kick your ass.
Yeah.
Your rhymes, yeah. You know, congratulations, you've graduated from the kiddie table. I'm going to kick your ass. And I thought, yeah, perfect. I mean, you'd mentioned...
Yeah, I like that. The only problem is that... and this is what we said. I said this...
We talked about this two or three months ago.
We talked about how going into The Rock, because the money is The Rock versus Punk, and Ryback's not going to be the money at this point,
right?
Then he needs to beat the Ryback clean right before, so that everybody sees him as a strong champion who really is impossible to defeat that The Rock is going against.
That's right.
So when he says something like, I'm going to kick your ass, you buy it. Because really what happens is you have him showing his ass as a cowardly heel for the last 4 months, fluking out wins, including that particular night 20 minutes earlier thanks to the Shield against Ryback in a very exciting TLC. Probably, maybe the worst TLC in history, but that's not saying that it's bad because it's just TLC.
Right.
You know, but, you know, and then coming out there and saying, I'm not young like anybody else you faced. I'm going to kick your ass. And you don't buy it anymore. And you would buy it easier if he was, you know, as big as The Rock or something. But you can find the fact that there's obviously the physical disparity combined with the fact that he's been getting his ass kicked by the Ryback and everything like that. When he says it, it means a lot less. His delivery is great. It's the right concept, psychology-wise. But, and this is what I was saying, this is, you don't fuck this up. And that's the thing to me that hurts it. That's the only thing that hurts it.
That's
the biggest thing.
I could see that. I mean, that didn't ruin anything for me because, again, because part of it, too, when you're talking about, like, don't fuck this up and blah, 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 is, I mean, again, it goes back to us talking about this at Raw 1000, that this is the plan. Rock and Punk, Rumble, Cena wins the Rumble, goes on to WrestleMania and then the match. Like, the plan is still on, so I'm looking forward to that plan.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And the fact that they did this.
And I love the promo. I love that both guys, while they were basically it was Cena The Rock saying, these are the people, I represent them, and they matter, and you're a dick.
Well,
but you're great, but you're still a dick, and I'm going to kick your ass for it.
Yeah.
Whereas Punk's saying, I don't care about these people, and you know what? I don't care if you think I'm a dick. I'm actually better than you, and I'm going to kick your ass and prove it. And that's the dynamic. And that the psychology of that is basically, he doesn't disparage The Rock. He doesn't do what Cena did.
He said, your movie, you go out and you do movies, and I'm sure that life is incredibly difficult.
Yep.
But you're back in the wrestling ring now.
The things that Cena was doing, like commenting about,
he said you'd never leave.
You never leave, and commenting that, oh, you need to write down your promos on your wrist. That shit's not money. That doesn't build a money. That just makes the other guy look bad.
Yeah.
Neither one of these guys made the other guy look bad. In fact, they made the other guy look like a fucking megastar.
Yeah.
But I have this issue, and I have this issue.
Yeah.
Now, if you like The Rock shit or not, I mean, to me it worked, like I say, because it was different than The Rock. To me, it was natural. There's a natural. It's like a cat and a dog. There's natural enemies. The personalities are different.
Yeah.
Where Cena and Rock, to me, never had that. It was
Cena was trying to be Rock Jr.
Yes, and Cena came across.
It got exposed.
Yeah, and in many ways, he took The Rock down to his level instead of bringing him up.
Yeah.
And it was. Not, it just didn't work for me as well. This to me is a much stronger,
much stronger dynamic
that I like.
I tell you the other thing. This is a really good you talk about, and it's true how they built each other up, you know, rather than tearing each other down and made each other look good. Is that part of this as well? If I'm CM Punk in the back of my cranium here, right now, not only am I going in the biggest sort of match that I've ever had against The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm auditioning for what my biggest match ever is going to be.
That's true.
And that's against Steve Austin at WrestleMania 30.
That's right.
And now he's taking...
Plus he's got the upcoming match with The Undertaker pretty much scheduled in.
Yeah,
that's true.
At this Mania. But what he's showing Steve Austin through this promo is that, you know, I can do business.
I can do business. I can hang with you, but I can do business.
I can do business here. So, and that's what this was. This was business.
I like it. We talked different personalities working.
The first thing you said to me
because they're different.
We rewatched it tonight before the show, and the first thing you said to me was what I thought actually live watching it was when Rock said 20 days, and we thought, holy shit, we're going to be there in 20 days.
Yeah.
And that's money.
We're going to be there,
and that's money. Oh, it's in 20 days. I have to see. I can't wait. We're going to be there.
I cannot wait.
That's a money promo.
That's a money promo. People came out of this going, I want to see these two fight.
And we talked, however long ago, the difference in promo between The Rock and Steve Austin, that Steve Austin cut more money promos. The Rock was more of the entertaining guy. But this was The Rock showing that he can do the money promo. Not that he's done a lot of them, but he can do them, and he's done.
Well, he's done them when he needed to.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't do them all the time, but when he needs to, he understands the difference. The thing about this is he's entertaining the crowd. He engages the crowd like nobody does now.
Yeah.
But there's the moment where Punk steps up to him, and the two of them are face-to-face, and that moment is the money moment.
Yeah, and that's when Rock, gets that look.
The Rock gets that look, and Rock puts him over and says, you know, basically puts him over, I know how tough you are.
Yeah.
I know how hard you worked. I know, you know, just puts him over like $1 million,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't matter. Time's up.
Yeah.
Like, that moment is money, and CM Punk is money there. And then he steps back and does a few more of his Rockisms, which is fine, because the crowd needs to be fucking entertained.
Yeah.
So, to me, I just thought it was a great moment, and like I say, as soon as it was done, I was like, I can't wait for the match. I know what's coming, and I know we're going to have more of these two interacting.
Yep.
And I know we're probably going to have The Rock and
Heyman.
Heyman
is, yes.
That's going to be fucking amazing. And, yeah, I can't wait.
So, that said, we talked about this after Raw 1000, and we've talked about it since going forward. Would it surprise you to know that they're thinking of altering it?
I heard they're thinking of having Rock win it at the Elimination Chamber instead of at Raw Rumble.
Yeah.
I don't believe we're going to see that.
I don't believe so either. I've heard that, but I think, again, it was the same way we heard Ryback might win, and I figured the cooler heads would prevail, and cooler heads, I think, will prevail in this case.
The thinking behind it is, from my understanding, is people know Rock's going to win, so we're going to swerve them so that they don't know what's happening, when that's not the point.
The point is we know and we care.
Yeah.
Right? That's the point of
this.
That's
the thing. And a baby face can't, especially at this point, a baby face shouldn't make a promise and fail in this case. Because it's not a guy who's going to be around you can do another story with afterwards. I mean,
yeah.
The Rock's here to make money for them now.
And you say it's a baby face can't. I would go so far as to say the baby face
can't, probably
right?
True.
I mean, this guy's just, you know, way bigger of a star. I mean, Raw was sold out in Tampa on Monday. Mm-hmm. Royal Rumble is sold out. You know, I don't
SmackDown
know what
SmackDown was likely sold out.
Well,
I do know that the advertising that they're doing in the local markets isn't even saying Raw. It isn't even advertising even like John Cena or Randy Orton. It only advertising The Rock. That's all they think they need, because that's how big a draw he is.
Yeah, and that's just it. And then it's not even all they think they need. So far, that's all they have needed, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
true.
The only thing that's a downfall with The Rock is the return of the douche.
Oh, their work.
Brian Gewirtz is back because he's basically Rock's bitch and writes for him, and you know, when you had thought, and I had groaned at the chance, Cookie Puss.
I didn't mind.
You didn't mind. I thought, oh, that's kind of, and I thought, oh, he's back. Gewirtz is back. But, I mean, because Cookie Puss.
There was another moment when the crowd chanted something that Rock said, and he hadn't.
Yes, and that's the one.
Yeah,
like,
that's better.
Boots to asses.
Yeah.
You know, took off because he said it, right?
Yeah.
You know, the old, like Hunter, you know, just something he said once, right? It took off.
Yeah.
But it's,
or like Mr. Socko.
Mr. Socko is legitimate.
Yeah.
Austin 316. Boots to asses. All these things are legitimate things. You know, it's the same way Kung Pao Bitch was, you know, he said it to get people to chant it.
Yeah.
It didn't stick.
No, it didn't.
So I don't think that the Cookie Puss thing is going to stick. And it, to me, it just not.
It doesn't really matter. I mean,
it doesn't matter.
It really doesn't. It's about, that's not what it's about. It's about, at the end of the day, does this make people does it make people excited about it? And how many of those people who are watching are going, I'm going to buy this? Like, what is, like, how close to WrestleMania numbers can Royal Rumble do?
I would be.
Like, what are we looking at here? What did last year's? Can you look it up right now? You have the technology. Can you look up last year's buy rate for Royal Rumble? How many buys it did domestically?
Can check
and worldwide.
For some reason, I want to say 300.
I think 300 domestically.
I don't even remember.
350. But I mean, that's the thing is what I mean. I could see 400 to 500 domestic buys. And that's what a SummerSlam was getting just 2-3 years ago, you know, domestically, 400 to 500. And, you know, this is, as I say, the third biggest event they have. I mean, as crazy as it sounds, I think that the money dynamic is there so much between Punk and The Rock that people are going to watch this and go, fuck it, I have to see this now. I got to see the match.
Here we go. The Royal Rumble drew 438,000 pay-per-view buys.
Mm-hmm.
272
domestic. So this could do 400 domestic. I really believe that.
2011, so they did 438. 2011 did 446.
Okay.
And 462 in 2010.
Okay, so, I mean, I could see 400,000 domestic and 600-something worldwide. Like, I could literally see that here.
Yeah.
And that's huge for them. So, and what does an Elimination Chamber do? I'm guessing an Elimination Chamber is probably about...
Elimination Chamber didn't do anything last year.
No?
No, it was back to your B-level shows last year.
Okay, but historically it's actually done, I think, a bump from B-levels, but not obviously. But just because of its positioning, I think it's historically...
Let's say like 300.
300 worldwide, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, compared to like...
And I think it was back down to its normal, like,
between
212
the, because
or
they'd be doing
level.
About 220 is about what the normal one. So I think it's probably about 200 domestic. And
I could see,
So it's up there, right? It's up a little bit.
Up this where?
This year I could see that doing, you know, 400, between 400 and 500 as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is the WWE, and we've said this, just got to get to January. Just got to get to January.
I know.
Survive the shit, get to January. It's going to be, that's where it's going to get exciting again, you know?
Well, yeah, And it has been, you know, it's got there. And I mean, we've got Raw 20th anniversary coming up next week.
Oh yeah, with the big return.
The big return. They said legends were coming, and they're true because they've promoted the legend, the myth, the man. Dr. Shelby is going to be back.
Can't fucking wait.
I
that
can't.
Guy's money.
You know, I know.
I guess some guy named Ric Flair is going to be there.
Well, it's
some guy named Shawn Michaels.
The thing was,
but who gives a fuck, Dr. Shelby?
It's Dr. Shelby, man.
Yeah.
It's all about Dr. Shelby. Well, they were going to have...
I'm going to have a drink here. I got I have some of that Mio. Should I squirt a little or squirt a lot?
Hmm?
I mean, how much should I squirt?
What?
Mio.
Mio.
Squirt a little, squirt a lot, you know.
Uh-huh. Like you. Well, like your mom?
That's uncalled for.
Hmm? Why? Oh,
that's because she
always squirts a lot, is what you're saying?
Oh. I kind of squirted... Well, you know, apparently you get her excited.
Sure.
I kind of squirted a little, but it looks to me like I need to squirt a lot.
I see.
I see a little more in there.
A lot.
What were you talking about?
Dr.
Shelby.
I was talking about Dr. Shelby and how the fact that they were going to have the return of Harold as well, but apparently Goldust might be on the show, so he refused to come.
Oh, yeah. So, I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Possibility of Bret the Hitman Hart, if they can find something for him to do.
Oh, what's this story you're saying?
Bret Hart said, I will come in, you call me for any of these things, you come in, and as long as you have something for me to do. It doesn't have to be a long-term story. He was happy with the Punk thing in Montreal.
Yeah, okay, exactly.
That's
yeah.
something to do. But what he was pissed at...
He was happy to be jammed for a night here in Calgary. For
yeah,
SmackDown.
Exactly. What he was
something to do.
What he was pissed at was being taken to Raw 1000, and he was the ring announcer for the Miz and Michael McGillicuddy match.
Yeah.
Where the Miz. And that was it. That's all he did. And he was like, fuck, because he's got, I mean, you got to figure, you get up at 6, you know. You,
4 in the morning. He's got to be clanging and banging.
Well, no, Bret Hart's always late, though.
Oh, that's
so,
right.
You get up at 6, though, your flight's at 10, you know, it's, let's say,
when
the power flight,
late,
news, by the time you get in there, you know what I mean? So, I know, right?
Yeah.
But, squirts a lot. But the thing is, it's a whole day there, and it's a whole day back. I mean, he's taken two travel days completely. So to do travel days for him to spend 30 seconds,
and say, The Miz.
The Miz. I mean,
yeah, be
he was upset about that. So
well,
like,
that
oh,
makes
oh,
sense. I mean,
hey.
if a guy like
Brodus,
you know,
Clay.
Well, no. But if a guy like, I don't know, Brian Knobbs gets brought in to say The Miz, he's going to be fucking ecstatic.
Yeah.
Because he's not Bret Hart.
No.
You know,
he's
I mean,
Brian Knobbs.
Exactly. Of course, he did beat him at, what was it?
When?
Well, the Knobbs beat
WrestleMania Brett. 7.
You want to watch it?
Want to watch WrestleMania 7? Which WrestleMania is that?
7.
But, I just think, I mean, so he was looking at him, and he wasn't, like, super pissed, like, you fuckers don't ever do this again. He was just like, look, I'll come in. Just, you have to have something for me to do.
Yeah.
Or don't just bring me in for the sake of
And why
of
is it they want to bring him in? What's the big deal about bringing him in for War 1000 other than the fact that, or Raw 20th anniversary?
Well, I don't know. I mean, well, the
He's
thing
the
was,
first, he was the
he
champion.
Was the champion. He was the champion.
The
I mean, he was leading because Raw started. He was leading to the match with Razor Ramon.
That's right.
At
8.5 years
at
WWF.
At WrestleMania, so or at Royal Rumble, rather,
yeah.
Royal Rumble 93. So
yeah.
The thing was, I think I told you, is that my idea, the only reason that you want him to bring in, you want to do something, they didn't announce anybody going in the Hall of Fame with tickets going on sale. Tickets are pretty much sold out, so they don't necessarily have to have the headliner announced like they felt they did in previous years to sell the tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Tickets are sold. And so, you know, you want to have something for him to do. Better thing for him to do than to come down and announce that Owen's going into the Hall of Fame.
That'd be amazing.
You know,
if they could get that done, that would be amazing.
If they could make that happen, that would be good. That's just, again, nothing, just a speculation, you know, for me. But
just out of curiosity, if he does show up, Ric Flair's also there. They
Woo!
Hate each other. They're doing it now. They're wooing. If he and what was it he said? He had,
Woo!
One more time.
Woo!
That area is ultimate.
I think you have Flair.
No, you have to keep them in the separate areas. Like, you have to keep Brett and Ric Flair apart.
No.
No? Or you think Shawn Michaels, since he's friends with both of them, brings them together? Actually, I think Shawn Michaels is much closer to Brett right now than he is Flair. He's never quite gotten over this, Flair wrestling again after
yeah.
the match.
I think
he's,
it's...
They're friendly, but he's... But that has...
Did Flair not pawn the watch?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
So, I mean,
yeah.
He probably pawned the first ring, which is why the horseman had to go in.
He needed the money. He had to pay back RF Video.
That's true. High spots.
All high spots.
High spots, yeah.
Yeah, he wouldn't work with RF.
I'll pretend he said 18, LOL.
18,000?
Hmm?
That I owe you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
LOL. Jerry Lawler would work with RF Video.
Oh, yeah, absolutely would. Jerry Lawler doesn't even bother to pretend they're 18.
No, that's true. Good old Jerry. But I think that...
The best part of Punk's promo when he talks about those, what was he called them, the tools? And
clowns.
Clowns unannounced.
Yeah, the clowns on commentary when I made them look... Yeah, fuck. Brett, so you're going to have Brett, you're going to have Rick there. Rick and Punk are scheduled to have a confrontation on Raw.
That'd be awesome.
So they're going to do whatever they're going to do, and I'm assuming Rock's going to make the save.
Yeah, amazing that to think that The Rock is there to get the rub from Ric Flair.
Well, not really get the rub, but just to
but
save him. I mean,
he's getting the rub.
I don't know who's rubbing who there. I mean, really.
Is Kelly Kelly involved?
It could be. Black hair now, Kelly Kelly. She doesn't have blonde hair anymore.
No?
I don't know. Down where? But I think in Okotoks? At Siemens Stadium?
Siemens Stadium.
But I think I don't know.
Stadium.
I mean, who is a bigger star, right? I mean...
Well, I mean, The Rock's the biggest star, but
yeah.
I think it's just one of those things to ensure Rock continues to be the babyface. They are nervous about that, though I'm not so sure that's going to be a huge issue. Again, it's a hardcore crowd.
Yeah.
But I'm not so sure.
I don't know now. I was thinking that, you know what I mean? Like back in
yeah.
I was thinking even when he turned heel and when he did the GTS back in July to him and
I mean it won't be 100% pro Rock, but I think I'm not thinking it's not going to be
there will be a lot of hardcores there. I mean, you think of Phoenix, Arizona, where Bound for Glory was, and you get
the
I mean, that's the first time in
someone
recorded
Aaron.
History where Jeff Hardy got booed, right?
That's true, yeah.
But, I mean, again, you're talking a University of Phoenix, you know, stadium or arena or whatever the fuck it was with, like, 4,000 people versus, you know, the 20,000, 25,000 people at U.S. Airways Arena. So, Who knows? But you're right. I mean, there'll be a smattering of anti-rockism there.
There will, yeah.
But
and I don't even know if it'll be a little bit of anti-rockism. It'll be a little bit of pro-punkism.
Mm-hmm.
There, you know.
Yeah.
But that said, I'm not so worried about it.
No, I'm
but
not.
I do think that's a lot of what they're going to be doing is very much designed to
And really, there's only two shows. There's only two shows left.
Yeah.
Right? There's a 20. There's a 14th.
Well,
and
how many more SmackDowns is Rock going to be on?
I don't even know, to be honest.
Yeah.
But again, you can edit that. You can gimmick that, right?
Yeah.
That's not even a concern.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's five shows, including the one that they just had.
Now,
four more.
My question is, does the Punker Taker show up to Russell? Or we know the Punker Taker and CM Punk is probably going to have the match. It's
yes.
Really tremendous. I hope he's growing his hair out a little.
Where do you?
When do you start that build? Does he show up at you know, Raw 20th anniversary, and it's just a stare down thing,
like,
not a
I don't even
nothing implied or.
I
mean, he was at Raw.
I don't use
Raw 1000.
I don't use him.
No.
Oh, he was at Raw 1000. Him and Kane choke slammed all the jobbers. Yeah, I forgot all about that actually. I don't know. I don't use him at all myself.
Yeah,
I think that gets in the way. Well, I mean,
I agree. I think it gets in the way.
I think you need.
But there can be. It's like that. I remember years ago. They're both still heels. If you will.
Oh,
they're both still.
I thought
heels.
George Takei was here.
Yeah. They're both still heels, and it's just backstage and some pay per view, some random pay per view, and. Angle's like walking past Lesnar and Heyman.
Yeah.
They just stop and look at each other. And that's all it. Neither one of them said anything, but it was just like a, you know, two alpha wolves looking at each other type moment. And then they kind of just moved on and kept the look on. But it laid like 6 or 8 months later, they had the WrestleMania match.
See, they used to do that, though, when there was the split brand pay-per-views. They used to, when they had the dual ones with the big four,
mm-hmm.
and that's when they'd bring guys together at the Rumble and sort of, like, Survivor Series a lot of times would get that stare down.
Yeah.
Rumble would continue it.
And sometimes
and
you didn't even get anything
mad.
Out of it. A couple times people had
that's
stare
true.
Down and never had anything.
Yeah.
But I'm just wondering if you have that moment. I mean, I don't do any more than that.
I wouldn't because I think, again, especially with Punk, I don't think you do it to Punk until after he's lost the belt, and then you can focus.
I would agree, but I think there can be an argument made that while he still has the belt, the modern-day streak, 400-plus days, that you just imply it. That you just, you know.
Just a tease. You could. Yeah. I mean, it's very possible. I wouldn't, though.
I wouldn't.
I agree.
I wouldn't, but I think it's, you know.
It's a possibility.
As long
sure.
as they don't do too much with it, I'm fine with it.
That's right. But
as long
yeah,
as
they
take the focus away from where it's
from Rock, basically.
Yeah.
Speaking of The Rock, another guy that is benefiting from The Rock and the interaction with The Rock is a man that's replacing Fred Flintstone on the cover of the Cocoa and Fruity Pebbles box.
Mm-hmm.
That's John Cena.
What?
John Cena now, thanks to the Fruity Pebbles. John Cena on all Fruity and Cocoa Pebbles cereal boxes now is going to be the guy.
Permanently?
Permanently. This guy, last time he was like, they had a special thing at the top of the box, but Fred Flintstone was still there, main guy. Fred's gone. John is in Fred's spot now because they did some market research and, of course, found out that 8-year-olds don't know who the fuck Fred Flintstone is because it's not 1972.
Yeah, and I guess they do know who John Cena is, so probably not at the level of some other people.
Although half the people did call John Cena Dum Dum.
I can see that.
I
can see that, yeah.
Zack Ryder could be what that guy Kazoo.
Kazoo, yeah.
But
your mom played my Kazoo.
Really?
Yeah, appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So John Cena now is the Fruity Pebbles guy.
John Cena, all because of
the Rock.
Gets the money.
Right?
WWE's got to be ecstatic. It's good for their brand. They make some money off.
Yeah,
of it.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, no, it's all right. Fruity Pebbles. Okay, that probably makes more money than the cartoon now. So
well, yeah, that's it exactly, right? So that's what they found. I did the research, and they said, no, Fred John Cena means more than Fred Flintstone. So
which is hilarious because I haven't thought of him at Fruity Pebbles for a long, long time. I mean, it's
no,
I
know.
He continues to. I don't even what's his fucking shirt right now.
What is his fucking shirt right now?
I don't know.
I don't even know. Yeah.
I don't know. He's down. He's due for a new one, though, right before WrestleMania or right at WrestleMania.
At WrestleMania is usually WrestleMania. The debut of the new one, because he gets the Christmas one and then the...
Well, the Rock will have a new one soon, and hopefully it's not Cookie Puss.
Fuck, it better not be.
Yeah.
But the... But, I mean, you could see more of the Fruity Pebbles, though, with Rock and Cena going to Rumble, or going to Mania, rather, too, right?
One of the things, well, I mean, Cena came out, and he opened the show.
Really? I had no idea.
Cutting a promo.
I know
not like Pat Patterson. Oh. This means he opened the show. He came out to open
Raw. Barry Sandusky?
Yeah. he's by the way, filed an appeal.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, that'll go well.
Yeah. Well, he's usually peeled in a file, but still.
Yeah. Anyways.
But
anyways, Cena came out, and he talked about how The Rock is here tonight, and he put over The Rock.
Yeah.
And there seemed to be no...
Heat. Yeah.
And it was weird to me. But, I mean, I guess it's a typical Cena promo.
Yeah, I was going to say, even Ziggler said, you come out here and you lose, and you smile and you keep going like them. And so, I mean, that's just... That's Cena.
And he came out in that big McMahon cadence.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And that's what Punk doesn't have.
Punk doesn't have it, no. The Rock doesn't really have it. The Rock doesn't have it either. The Rock has his own cadence.
No, The Rock has his own, exactly.
Yeah, but CM Punk, that's what really stands out about his promos, is he doesn't do that cadence.
Yeah.
So.
And, and a lot of that, though, is the fact that he's not given the scripted lines, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
But even someone like who's not given scripted lines, like Chris Jericho, has that cadence to some degree. When he did the Nick Bockwinkel character, he went out of his way to break it.
Yes.
So he really has had that cadence.
But Raw as Jericho has that cadence. Yeah. Well, that's because that's the character in WWE. Because he was given the scripted lines at first.
Yeah.
And you just kind of, that's your character and you get used to it, right?
Yeah.
So, but Flair is there. Talk about Steve Austin possibly being Shawn Michaels. Bret Hart, as I said, all possibilities, nothing confirmed. Someone said they're going to be stopping by after their monster truck rally is Alundra Blaze.
Yeah, I heard that, yeah.
Going to be stopping by.
That would be amazing to see her.
Well, she's done interviews now.
Yeah.
Like Russo has, like Luger has done those interviews.
Yeah.
So she's not, well, not say back in the fold,
she had more, actually I guess Luger did too, I think. Luger and her probably are the two people that had the most heat for the way they left.
Well, it's similar to Russo had the same heat, too, for the way
they
left.
No, because, he had the same heat, but you know what? He was already brought back to be on the creative team.
Once before, right?
It's just that he was there for about 24 hours and people went,
What do you think, Luger or Alundra had more heat, though?
I really don't know.
I mean,
he was pissed at both. I really think at the end of the day... I think had more heat.
Medusa never killed anyone, though.
Yeah, well, if she had, they would have taken that. Or even if she hadn't, if she had been around someone who died, they would have taken the opportunity to create some sort of profile and bury her on.
That's true. That's true. But, I don't know. That's interesting. As I said, there's this possibility. We've talked about possibly The Undertaker. Coming back. Some of the other guys are talking, the mid-carders might be coming back.
Yeah.
They're going to bring back him again in Texas, so there's gold dust possibility there as well, right?
Yeah.
So,
But he doesn't live there, he lives here.
Oh, yeah, that's right, in Cochrane.
Yeah.
But, and that's not Cochrane, that's Cochrane. So who knows?
I've been there. Yeah,
it's kind of a little bit of both, actually. Yeah. It's the Cochrane of Alberta. But, I think that's going to be... So Raw will be interesting, at least, to say
Raw
the
will be interesting.
Did you hear about the latest name bantied about a possible... There's a couple of new names that we talked about. Mid-Carter's returning now, bantied around a little more seriously.
Just for depth?
For depth, yeah.
Okay.
As we mentioned Shelton Benjamin last time. We mentioned that he's a MVP now, seriously, in the consideration.
Why not? In Japan, where he's been working, and he has found work. He's been consistently making a living over there. And
yeah.
He does well. He's fairly over
And that was
there.
One of his
goals. He's the same name. He's still going by MVP. He's still doing the ball and elbow.
Well, he owns it.
Yeah, exactly. He's still doing the ball and elbow. He's still doing all that. But one of the things that I'm just going to squirt a little more.
Oh, okay.
Just a little, though.
Yeah. Well, your mother's son.
Yeah. But one of the things about him over there is he's pretty much
talking
relegated
about
to
a black guy and squirting.
Mm-hmm. He's pretty much He's pretty much a comedy character. He's treated as a comedy character.
Yes.
An opening match comedy character. So if he can come back to the WWF, or WWE, sorry, he'd be better off.
Well, and one of his goals, he was a big New Japan wrestling fan.
Yeah.
And so that was one of his goals.
Well,
he wanted to go there.
Yeah, he wanted to go there, and he probably is a better worker. If he's like Tensai, if he really improved his work for being there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, if he could be anything like Tensai, that would be beautiful.
Absolutely.
I don't know. We'd have to interview him to find out if MVP could sing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I don't know. But the thing is, yeah, now we'll just get there quickly. Tensai, talking about comedy characters, that's him on the house show against Santino now. It's just the Don't Call Me Albert and just playing up the whole thing. So his career is again, done. But... And we talk about them needing depth characters, right? But fuck. But another guy.
They don't need depth characters. They need upper mid carders.
Yeah.
They need.
Well, and that's the guys again.
They
guys
need main eventers. They need.
Yeah, that's true.
You know.
But a guy talked about now to come back again. Not necessarily that he is coming back, but someone that they've reached out to that was surprising, at least to myself, especially given the way that his run ended. Is Caval.
Awesome.
So that would... I don't think he's coming back.
Why, probably
he'd
not.
He'd be stupid. But to come back, quite frankly, I think.
Yeah.
But after the way, again, that he was treated.
Yeah.
But then I said I never... Big
then
move.
Again, but they signed to El Generico recently, right?
They just signed El Generico. Well,
they got Pac and working. Like, they are... There's, again, talk of if they do a network, definitely a cruiserweight show. I mean... small guys right now are there doesn't seem to be that you got to be 6'2", 240 ceiling at
small guys they're looking at small guys is what you're saying.
So Pat Patterson is not apparently in power anymore.
So are you have you been contacted?
I'm 6'3", 280 pounds.
I know. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't I misunderstood small.
So is that a wiener joke like AJ made?
It is, but what we're not going to do is say, that's a wiener joke, and go, let's give it up for the wiener joke and spend 5 minutes saying, wiener joke.
But really? We're not going to do that?
We are not going to do that.
I'm pretty fucking sure. Speaking of which, I heard today that if you have prostate cancer and you have to go in for the therapy, apparently your odds are you can lose up to an inch. So,
does your mom have that?
I'm really worried.
About your mom?
Oh, I'm having it cut in half.
Is your mom okay, though? Does she have it? Does she have prostate cancer? Caval. So that's an interesting deal.
Did you hear my new favorite joke?
What?
My new favorite joke. What do you get when you cross a...
Put your pants on.
What do you get when you cross a centipede and a parrot?
What's that?
A walkie-talkie.
Oh. What's your new favorite joke?
All right, anyways.
Anyway, wrestling. Caval, now you just mentioned El Generico.
Yeah.
Just been signed. El Generico is still... again, he's got the whole tentative signing... subject to the medicals again.
Yeah.
So the same thing that caused Nigel McGuinness to not get
I doubt it'll be an issue, though.
I doubt it either, but it takes some time.
Well, one of the things that's interesting is that TNA is going to be doing a bunch of tapings on Saturday, and then they have a pay-per-view on Sunday. By the way, are we going to talk about that?
What?
We just did. And
TNA has a pay-per-view on Sunday.
Yeah. Done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So El Generico.
El Generico was apparently going to be there because TNA was... Or the first thought was he was going to be there because TNA's
No, no. The rumor was that because he had canceled all his booking.
Because apparently
so,
a lot of X-Division guys are being flown in for the set of tapings, which is interesting. I will blame this on the blog I just wrote, Rebuilding the X-Division.
Yes.
That went up telling them how to do it.
At WeTalkWrestling.com.
That's right.
And that's
fucking right.
Well, the thing is when you're talking about rebuilding the X-Division, right, you are going to see Rob Van Dam against Jerry Lynn for the final time. That's on there. That's on that show.
Rebuilding the X Division.
Well, it's the final time, and why not, right?
Jerry Lynn's retiring.
Yeah, and so, but you talk about rebuilding. I mean, the guys we're getting are Jimmy Rave, Matt Bentley.
I like Jimmy Rave.
You see, you did. I never liked you.
No, no. What he's done since he's gone to ROH and reinvented himself.
Oh, with
very
the,
good.
The punky kind of...
Yeah.
Okay, well, that could be.
Completely different character. A lot better. That
I would assume Sanjay Dutt will be back.
Yeah.
You know, Matt Bentley.
That's no good.
Yeah, the Bentley bounce.
Yeah.
But, I mean...
Shawn Michaels' cousin.
Yeah, there you go. It's former...
El Generico.
What?
And El Generico.
What? No.
No.
No? No. El Generico, WWE, remember?
Oh, fuck.
The whole
I'm
thing
sorry.
Was that they were talking, and no one had said he was going. It was just the fact that TNA is doing this taping, and he canceled the bookings. That's what people were putting one and one together, when in fact the one and one to put together was he canceled the bookings because he signed with WWE.
Yeah.
But tentatively, we'll see how that goes. Expected when the smoke clears and the dust settles in terms of the signing, which can take
up to 6 weeks.
But how
is this? They're going to do, what, 3 or 6 hours worth of tapings on Saturday?
Hey, let's go there. We're going to talk
pay-per-view.
About El Generico.
Wait, 1 second. Then they're going to do the pay-per-view on... So what is this taping for? Is this for shows after? Is this for Impact after the pay-per-view?
Okay.
Are they pre-taping?
What
they're
doing.
They doing? What the fuck is going on?
They're doing today. Impact is happening today.
Yeah,
okay.
Right now.
Impact, then they're
taping. As we're recording this, Impact is live on the air. Want to check to see what's happened?
No.
Want to go to a live
Impact,
update?
No. Impact
go
is...
go around and check it on a website and read about it?
What's happening, because
I can do it
pay-per-view...
If you
sure, what the fuck, I don't care. The pay-per-view is canceled in February.
Oh, yeah.
And so they still have international commitments. So this X Division show that they're taping on Saturday is going to go there. So it's never going to air on Spike TV. It may air up here in Canada, I don't know. But it's basically going to be an international pay-per-view, this X Division deal.
So we'll see, get a chance to watch it on YouTube or something.
Yeah, exactly.
It sounds like something I'd rather see. Of course, I'll know the results.
Yeah, exactly. Who knows? But it may be good.
We know the results of SmackDown. I still want to see that.
That's true. Yeah. But, yeah, so that's what that TNA taping is. Again, with El Generico, it's going to take, you know, say 6 weeks for all the smoke and dust, or maybe 2 months to get cleared.
He's going to be
in developmental for 6 to 8 months at least.
Yeah, exactly.
There.
He's not going right up there.
And
they don't do that.
Mask or no mask?
If you take the mask off him, then he is a generic jobber.
Yeah, so who knows? So they'll take the mask off.
Yeah, they may make that mistake.
They may. I'm sorry. Just before we get going, we have to stop. We're going to stop the show for a second, Mo. Stop the show just for a second.
Mm-hmm.
You have to tie your shoes.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You have to tie your shoes.
Yeah, because they fly off in the middle of my matches.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Fuck. Mm. That women's match. Mm. Hold on. Mm. You got to tie your shoes.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to tie your shoes. Doug Flutie once had them fall off when he was making a touchdown run.
Really?
Yeah.
What a flake.
Yeah.
But, that was just one of the stupidest things I've heard. Also stupid, Layla's new finisher.
Yeah?
LOL.
Lots of Layla.
Lots of Layla.
Oh, yeah.
Whole lot of Layla.
Makes me think that maybe she's also a slut.
Lots of Layla?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. It's the splits. No stupider name has there been since the Taker Care of Business.
Taker Care of Business may have been the worst name for a move ever.
Yeah. Like any move.
Yeah.
Like, even like a UFC move, even.
Yeah. Well, everything's a go-go platter there.
That's true. Or a Darce joke.
Darce joke, yeah.
What else I was going to mention here?
What are some other shitty names for moves?
Okay, well, there's the Taking Care of Business.
That's
remember the alley-oop that Big Show had, that stupid reverse thing?
Called
it the alley-oop? That was retarded.
Yep, that was shitty.
Yeah.
That was shitty, yeah.
What else?
I don't know. What are some of the best names? I still like Eat Defeat.
Eat Defeat.
I
like the sharpshooter for the Hitman.
Yeah,
I thought that was.
But it's just
name.
Weird because he became. It was the sharpshooter, like after it was already the Scorpion Deathlock.
Yeah.
So I kind of, you know, I mean, which is also a good name. Let's face it, Scorpion Deathlock. So I mean, that was good. You know what I liked that kind of like off the radar was if you'll remember back to the dying days of WCW and how the fuck will you ever forget it? Above average, Mike Sanders, the 3.0. Yes. This finisher was the 3.0.
That was good. Yeah, I like
that.
There was the, what did they call it? What was Shane Helms' move there?
Which one?
The Vertebraker.
Vertebraker.
I liked the Vertebraker.
Yeah, that's
I like
a good
that
name. I like that. Yeah, that was good.
Or was the yeah.
Yeah, that
Vertebraker
was good.
Was good. I mean, Sweet Chin Music is tells you what it is, right?
Yeah, I like that.
So
that's fine. Yeah,
that's enough on that. Well, we didn't mention who was pissed off about CM Punk's promo.
Who's that?
Superstar Billy Graham.
And why the hell is he pissed off?
He was pissed off because CM Punk said that it was easy for Bruno Sammartino to wrestle once a month in Madison Square Garden.
Oh, fuck off.
In
really?
A heel promo, yes. I think he's, honestly, though, I mean, he's been in some bad health. And honestly, I think it's he's getting to the point that, you know, he's...
It's one of two things. It's old age dementia.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, yeah.
Or
attention for himself.
Yeah, he's starving for attention, which I think is a little bit, too.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably a little bit of both of those things. Because let's face it, Sammartino defended more than once a month.
Yeah.
To begin with. And number two, even if he... even it doesn't matter. It's a heel promo. He'll say... He was also saying that you know, 1 year includes is like 30 years of Sammartino.
Yeah.
Like, he's getting heat. He's a fucking heel.
Yeah. And no one should know that better than
well, that's exactly it. Yeah. I mean, you're not a mark. You're you know, a former world WWF
champion.
Champion.
I just, again, he's done a few things, though. I mean, like, suing companies because they don't have wheelchair ramps and such. And just really, you know, like, to get his, he's an attention grab or something, you know, at this point. I mean, he's so... but anyway, I just thought I would mention that. I'm just trying to see what else is there. Anything else from, say, like Raw?
I want to go back to a couple things on Raw. Number one, the Ziggler and Cena. To me, this very much felt like the blow off to the Cena Ziggler feud, which seems strange coming right out of. It seems like it's.
Bad timing. I mean, they missed the boat on it from the TLC pay-per-view.
Yeah, I mean, you're coming right out of the TLC pay-per-view, then you didn't really build to a blow-off match. It's just kind of this match. But I don't really see where you go here from this.
It's mostly because Kelly's not with the company anymore.
Oh, so that's why the blow-off happened later than it should?
Yeah. There isn't somebody there eager to do it.
Yeah, well, there's apparently Layla, you said.
Lots of Layla.
You said she was, yeah.
There's lots of Layla.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I fuck her.
I know.
But, sorry, were we thinking of, still thinking about fucking her.
Oh, okay. Really? So that's twice as long as it would take to happen.
Yeah.
But, I look at, I just think it did seem like that the
now five times as long as it would take to happen.
Yes. I think it was the end of that feud, and rightfully so.
So does it set up Cena and Langston? Is that where they're going?
I think they're
when Langston took the mic and they showed him up close and he's holding it like this and his eyes are kind of cross-eyed.
Yeah,
he fucking looked like Zeus Jr.
Yeah, I know. I don't think they're doing anything with that. Again, with John Cena, here's John Cena's path, is to win the Royal Rumble, right? Mm-hmm. Ziggler and Cena could be the final.
Yeah, I've heard that he's going to, apparently that's the story, is that he had a shitty year, so he's going to go on and have a great year.
Yeah.
But just when it looks like he's going to have a great year, I heard that he's going to face Doom.
Really?
And, yeah.
Ron Simmons and Butch Reed?
Yeah, I don't know if they'll be wearing the masks or.
Will they have a manager?
Hopefully, he's working there.
Their original manager?
Oh, no.
Oh.
No, they will not have. I don't think. Maybe they could dig her up.
Maybe. That would be Doom.
Yeah. Obviously the storyline scene is going to probably go on a huge win streak including likely win the Royal Rumble leading into WrestleMania against The Rock as champion. I would love to see another way they can do this. Because the idea of Cena being there live and watching the main event, and actually, I don't think it will go on. I don't think the Rumble will go on last. I think Cena or Punk Rock will go on last.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, right?
Or does the Rumble, well, either way, I guess it doesn't matter. Because I think the Royal Rumble should end with The Rock Cena stare down. You know what I mean?
I just don't want to go out with, if I'm there live, I don't want to go out watching John Cena fucking win the Royal Rumble.
No, but regardless of what it is, I'd like to see the Cena Rock stare down is how you
end. Yeah, I want that, yeah.
But, I mean, I look at it like, the thing is his you know, has ended.
Actually, you know, the more I think about him winning the Royal Rumble, though, the more that just puts up, like,
It doesn't to me, because it's...
Three times he'd have won it, I just feel like...
Yeah, but he's the biggest... It should happen, and this year it should happen.
Yeah, I suppose.
You know, this year it should happen. So, Ziggler could be the final guy in. That's who he flips over, you know, does a tremendous out-of-the-ring bump to end the Rumble. Based on that, but then there's no... To me, there's no more Ziggler-Cena outside of, like, Ziggler just jobbing to Cena for no reason, because now the sights are set on the Rock in the Elimination Chamber.
They're talking three people that they're bringing back for the Royal Rumble, but that the names aren't difficult to confirm right now, because they're waiting until 2 to 3 days before the Royal Rumble to even contact the people.
Wow.
Yeah. A lot of, they were trying to have a lot of security on it.
Surprises.
But they're talking that there's going to be three people returning. So.
Wow.
So we'll see about that.
Yeah. Paul Orndorff? But
maybe somebody that used to job to him.
Maybe, like Lucius Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Or Paul Roma.
Or Troy Martin.
Mm-hmm.
No, it won't be Troy Martin. He'll be in the crowd.
He's going to be busy stocking shelves.
He'll be in the crowd with a mask on. But I think...
Like Doom.
Similar manager. But they... I just think that... I don't have a problem with it ending now, because they had the AJ turn, so you've established
it. Well, it's just it, though. You have the AJ turn. That should lead to a long feud, and the heels getting there, so more than shit being dropped on them at the end of a show.
I think there's two ways you could do that, though. It either leads to this, you're right, it could lead to the feud, but I look at it more like it's led, as long as it leads to the establishment of the Big E Ziggler AJ act, and the act, to not to rhyme, but the act stays intact, right,
for a period
going forward. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Well, that is the one problem with Rumble and Chamber is it's sometimes hard to set up the feuds until those are done for WrestleMania. And you can set up a couple, but it's tough for a guy like Ziggler might be kind of in limbo until after the Elimination Chamber, because he's just going to be in the Royal Rumble. He's going to be in the Elimination Chamber. But let's talk about SmackDown. New World Heavyweight Champion.
Alberto Del Rio has won the, as I texted you, ADR, the new WHC, in an MLS match on SD.
Yeah. So in HD.
In HD.
Yeah.
On Sci-Fi.
Yes.
But Alberto Del Rio wins the last man standing match. It's the Big Show to win the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah.
So,
it sounds like a hell of a match. I'm looking forward to watching it tomorrow.
Interesting move.
Yeah. It was interesting. As soon as he said it, I was like, I didn't see it coming. Definitely didn't see it coming on a just out of nowhere on a SmackDown like that. But they've been wanting to do it. I actually think as a babyface, it's good for Del Rio. He'll be taking a lot more seriously, having beaten Big Show for the belt.
I kind of like it, actually.
We kept on saying the problem with Ziggler is, with having the Money in the Bank, is he can't really turn it on, use it on Big Show, because they're two heels, right? Now you have a baby face, and it's a fresh matchup, and I'm interested in it. I like the idea of Ziggler using it to get the belt away from Del Rio and then defend against Del Rio at WrestleMania.
I like that very much.
Yeah.
I do. I like that very much. So that's not a match that... we talked about that, I guess, Del Rio having a few fresh matches as a babyface, and Ziggler is one of the opponents, and I really do like that. And then you can have Sheamus and Randy Orton in the undercard.
Well, that's one of the top four matches. In many ways, that's going to be positioned higher, but still, it's okay. I mean, it's WrestleMania; it's a loaded card.
Well, the World Heavyweight Championship is the opener.
I mean, they are going forward with the Sheamus and Randy Orton. I wasn't 100% sure.
Yeah.
Orton wants to go heel. I don't know how well it'll work, but yeah.
Well, you know what? It's going to go a hell of a lot better than his baby face fucking shtick that he's been doing. It just sounds stupid. And you can tell he's absolutely not into it.
Well, he's not into
it,
but the crowd is into him as a baby face, regardless. So it doesn't matter.
No, the crowd is into I hear voices and pop. He gets on screen. You hear the girls of pop. But as soon as he pops,
the RKO.
Pop, yeah. The move is the move.
When he's in his matches,
move, right?
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. Unless he's, you know.
No, they don't. He doesn't entertain when he cuts a promo.
No.
He cuts a promo, it's business. I'm here to do the business. I'm the job I'm supposed to do. I've been told to cut a promo. Here's my promo. I just cut my promo.
Yeah. Well, as long as, and you said, I mean, so those are looking good, and I like that. I mean, as long as on SmackDown this coming SmackDown, what we didn't get is another 15-minute Heath Slater Miz match.
That was a pretty good match, though. SmackDown the week before.
For 15 minutes.
It was pretty good. It was pretty good.
Oh. God, the best thing about that was...
Slater is a very good worker.
My favorite
We talk about the TLC match.
Which?
We didn't really talk about the TLC
match. We didn't really
match.
Talk about the TLC. I do want to say the best part about SmackDown last week was there was a Primo Epico and Rosa against Hornswoggle,
Kali
and Natalya.
Yeah.
And the ref... Mm-hmm. Was like, it likened it back to the WrestleMania 4 ref, where he's like, 1, 2, and you could hear nothing but the ref. But this ref was so fucking loud, and he was calling spots.
I didn't notice.
It was so
great. I probably skipped through that one.
Oh, I know, I was going to, and then I was like, no, I forget. Maybe like halfway through, like, you know.
Primo Epico are losing to those guys. I mean, Jesus.
Yeah, he's losing too. But yeah. It was just the ref calling spots made me laugh. But
somebody's got to call them.
But TLC.
Yeah, TLC. Like I say, might have been the worst TLC match ever, but that's because the standards are so high.
Yeah, well,
it's partially because Ryback is so sloppy. I thought some of the bumps that Punk agreed to take, and that was Punk's first match in a few weeks. He came back and really bumped and made Ryback look like $1 million. But it was almost like he was out there to show, hey, Rock, I'm willing to pay the price. I'm willing to do the things it takes to really, you know, put you over and to be a bump machine when I need to be here. And to prove I'm healthy and don't worry about me at Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
But I thought to myself, now you're not going to be healthy at the Royal Rumble because you're going through crazy bumps and you're having them done by this guy who is so concerned with living his gimmick while he's working that he doesn't protect you.
Well, he just threw him like
completely reckless.
Yeah,
Ryback's awful.
Yeah, it was pretty bad, especially again for someone. I mean, I think the injury part is a little bit overblown because they all play hurt, and he's been ready to go for a couple of weeks, and then they've been holding off for this reason. But like you said, worst TLC match ever. Yeah, but I mean, how many one-on-one TLC matches has there been? Where you get the advantage of the multiple man matches where things can be happening.
Well, I mean,
all the
think
time.
This is the first time, and the reason it's exciting, I think it's the first time since Flair versus Edge that there was a TLC match for the heavyweight champion for the WWE championship on Raw, right? This is the first one.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I mean, you've done the Cena Edge, the Taker and Edge had one.
Yeah.
I mean, so there have been one-on-one.
Oh yeah,
matches,
there has been.
But,
yeah, it's become more of a one-on-one match than it has become. You know, I mean, there's a fucking pay-per-view named after it.
Well, I guess now it does, yeah.
Yeah, it's become a more of a one-on-one match than what it used to traditionally be.
Now, has Jerry Lawler ever been in one? Because he said on Raw, Jerry, you know what it's like to be in a TLC match, and he said something, but I'm like, I remember Jerry Lawler ever being in a fucking TLC match.
I can't remember him ever being in one either.
No.
No.
Did he not have a ladder match maybe against The Miz?
I thought he had like a ladder match against The Miz or he was in a ladder match. I don't know. He was in, or maybe he was in some Money in the Bank ladder match or something.
No,
like that.
I know. I know he wasn't in that. But anyway, I don't know. But I'm trying to think of. But anyway, that's I mean, to me, that pointed out Ryback's, and that's another thing that it does too. I mean, do you do Ryback and it seems that Ryback and the Shield are still an issue.
Well, yeah, and again, where do you go with that? Because the Ryback loses to the Shield, that's not good for him. He beats the Shield, that's not good for him. You still have the Shield and kind of Orton and this stuff happening, right?
Yeah.
I don't know that they ever settled it with Daniel Bryan and Hell Team Hell No versus the Shield. I don't know if that's ever been settled, but they kind of moved on to Rhodes Scholars, it seems.
Well, I think they got back to Rhodes Scholars. I think they could go back to the Shield for WrestleMania at this point.
Maybe.
I think maybe. That might be.
And I after having the Road Scholars being beat, I think, one-on-one by, isn't it
Kane and Daniel Bryan, didn't they?
No. I think Road Scholars were beat up on
by The Rock.
The Rock.
Yeah.
Is it The Rock? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, or I thought it was Cena.
Which is awesome because I was the first thing that I said about Rock's back, and I was going to wait to the show, but I want to see a Rock-Damian Sandow interaction.
Yeah.
Because I think that would be tremendous.
It could be great.
So we'll see, I guess, this Friday, probably.
But if they're number one contenders or even number two contenders, I hate them losing to one guy.
Well, now...
I always hate it.
And you always look, too, that you've got the primetime jobbers now.
Yeah.
You know, and they're just kind of taking their medicine now. So, you know, the Usos seem like they were getting a bit of a push, but that's kind of faded a bit.
Yeah.
But the tag team wrestling as a whole has kind of been, but I guess...
All of a sudden, it's probably because we're getting near Mania. It's kind of been pulled back.
I think we're getting near every match from South Royal Rumble, too.
Yeah, and you got with Rey Mysterio, Sin Cara is apparently healthy again, but
mm-hmm.
they didn't use him, so...
So, yeah, that's true. So, but, I mean, well, Sin Cara and Randy Orton were teaming. Randy Orton was taking Rey Mysterio's place on the house shows. That was the team. But, I don't know. I could see... Like, what do you do with Ryback at WrestleMania? Do you go with the Big Show now?
I don't know. I really...
I like that as an undercard match. But
I guess I'm trying to think of Ryback versus The Shield any way that it can work without him having a partner or two partners, and I don't see who you can get. I just don't see who you can get.
Hell no is the only thing.
And
didn't they do that? Wasn't that the TLC match?
Yes, it's done. It's
a great match. But
but
it's done. You're right. So
yeah. So I don't really know where they're going with the Shield, and I don't know where they're going with Ryback. I have no idea how. I think that they're finding themselves booking themselves into a corner again with Ryback.
They are. Yeah, they definitely are. And so I'm not sure how they're going to. Yeah, to get out of that.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I don't know. What else? You got anything else on SmackDown there, or?
Let's see on the SmackDown. I don't think so. Actually, on SmackDown,
more Rock and Cena,
more
Rock and Punk interaction and that type of thing. But
yeah, that's going to be the thing. But yeah, and so
we do have our top four matches. Like we say, we already talked about Orton versus Sheamus. Which they're going to go forward with.
Yeah.
I still don't know
about
turning.
Hunter and Brock. Punk and Taker.
Punk Taker, and then, Cena and Rock, too.
You should mention WWE signing up a sponsorship deal with Irish Spring.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, that to me has Sheamus, you know.
If he can cut more hilarious promos like he did Monday.
Oh, fuck. Was that on the 3MB?
I think so.
I fucking hate that shit.
Well, that's them again. You're like, he's just not funny. And I'm like, I don't know that he's not funny. I know the material written for him.
Yeah.
Bill Cosby couldn't make this funny. Like, Jerry Seinfeld, the funniest man on the planet couldn't make this funny.
Well, they could because they wouldn't do it.
Well, that's exactly it. Yeah. Because if they had to, nobody could make this material funny because it's just not, it's shit.
It is.
So, I mean, you can't even judge him on it. I mean, I'm like, his character's annoying. The crowd was into him that night, but it was a good crowd in Tampa.
It was. It really was a little raucous crowd in Tampa.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, but I mean, yeah, fuck, that was awful. I can't take any more of that.
I do have,
Hey, here's a good time. I just want to say this, because we say we're going to the Royal Rumble, though.
We are.
And I think Sheamus will probably be in the final two, three guys being thrown out, last year's winner.
Final five, probably,
yeah. So anyways, we're going there. Anybody wants to get together with us, have a beer or talk some wrestling when we're down there. Anybody else who's going, certainly email us.
Or text or tweet us at
@WeTalkWrestling.
One or
the other. Yeah. Tweet at @WeTalkWrestling or email @WeTalkWrestling.com.
Yes.
@WeTalkWrestling.
That's @WeTalkWrestling @WeTalkWrestling.com.
So.
Speaking of the Royal Rumble, which we have been quite a bit.
Don't know why.
The Fan Fest.
Yeah.
Prior to and day of.
We have our tickets for.
We have our tickets for our VIP.
I'm almost more excited than I am for the Rumble.
Well, they've announced the names now of, we talked about the panels, the three panels that were going to be quite a bit ago.
I wish one of them wasn't a fucking 9 a.m., but.
I know, Sunday at 9 a.m., and someone said, there's a new, I kept hearing it all over the net, there's a new one. Well, no, it's always been there. The Montreal Screwjob is going to have Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, and Jerry Lawler as the panelists.
Yeah.
No Vince.
Well, I didn't expect Vince.
I didn't either, but that would have been great.
I didn't expect Vince. I wasn't really sure who else they could...
Shane?
No.
Julie?
I wish. She's behind his heart... She's behind this Hart legacy. It's her and Teddy Hart are the two people that are
really?
Behind
it. Is the show still going on?
Yeah, apparently.
Wow.
But it's going to lose a lot of money.
You don't say.
Yeah. But yeah, she's one of the... It's presented by Teddy Hart and Julie Hart.
Wow.
The ex-wife. Oh, she's great. A Hart through...
Blood.
Nope. Well, actually, she might be their Harts.
Oh. Yeah, through marriage. Through Brett's... Brett's ex-wife. But one of them.
Yeah.
But, so Jerry Lawler, I don't know what Jerry Lawler is going to bring to the table, other than the fact that...
Yeah, it just seems odd, but
I get to heckle him now.
That's true. Don't get me kicked out.
Oh. Well, it's the only one, and it's cause Saturday, that's at 3 p.m., it's Saturday at 6:30 p.m., D-Generation X panel.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait, that's going to be awesome. Hunter and Sean are hilarious together.
Well, Sean's not in it.
What?
Hunter, X-Pac, and the New Age Outlaws. The four-man DX.
Actually, that'll still be funny.
The Croc.
That'll still be funny.
That still will be funny. I'm gonna, yeah.
But that means that X-Pac, and hell, for that matter, Billy Gunn is going to have to go, like, an hour, hour and a half talking without cursing.
Or drinking.
As long as X-Pac goes without bleeding, I think we'll be okay.
I think we'll be fine, yeah. I'm hoping to...
You know, he's just trying to stay hep.
He really is.
He's trying to be hep. He's hepper. You know, he's of all his friends, he's the hep one.
He is the hep one.
Yeah.
I think that... I think we should bring...
I'm laughing at myself now.
I mean, they bring us presents, right? They give us gifts. We're going to have gifts. But I think we should bring them gifts. And I want to bring Billy Gunn, a woman from Winnipeg.
That's a good idea.
So, Sunday.
Call Ken.
There you go. Sunday, 9 a.m., next day of the Royal Rumble, there's going to be a WCW panel. Advertised for the panel, The Big Show.
Oh, I was thinking Lex Luger, like Sting, you know.
Big Show. Booker T.
Okay, how long was Big Show actually in WCW? 18 months?
Probably, yeah, 2 years, 18 months. 95. No, about, oh, God, four,
I guess
could
it
be
would
four
be
years. 95, he debuted. The fall of 95 is when he debuted. At that outdoor show.
Was it?
Yes.
Bash on the Beach against, Bash on the Beach, Vader. He was around when Bash on the Beach, Vader, and Hogan.
The Andre the Giant t-shirt, right?
Yeah, Vader, Hogan.
Bash on the Beach. 95, yeah. and he debuted at the in 1999 at the St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
But he'd been gone for a few months, so 3 years, really.
Yeah, let's say 3 years.
Probably three and a half years. I'll say. I'll go three and a half years. Okay, that's long enough. Okay.
Yeah. And then we said Booker T.
Who was there for
whatever 10 times WCW champion? He debuted in like 1993.
He was there for like
eight, nine years.
Yeah, he was there a long time.
Kevin Nash.
Who was there a couple times.
A couple times.
An important role. Okay, I like that. So Nash is there.
Yeah.
Well, he's going to be here for the Hart Legacy Wrestling next Friday, 10 days from now.
The difference between the Hart Legacy Wrestling and this WCW panel and Kevin Nash is that this is this panel, Sunday at 9 a.m.
Yeah, good point. Well, see, if we start seeing any drunken tweets from him at 1 in the morning,
you know what I
want
to do? You know what the panel I want? The panel I want is Kevin Nash, X-Pac, and a couple bottles of red wine.
You can get that. I think that's high spots.
Oh.
Yeah.
I see. There were probably some high spots, yes.
Yeah, there definitely was.
But that's going to be, again, a tremendous... tremendous deal. So,
yeah.
I want to talk about as well to get off a little bit of the beaten path here. We just talked about
get off your mom?
Nash, and X-Pac. A guy, we talked in a WCW, the WCW Best of Nitro Volume 2.
Oh, DDP.
It's hosted by DDP coming out in March here. And DDP, as we know, took in Jake the Snake Roberts.
Yes.
Jake Roberts has lost, say, 50 pounds now, kind of trying to sober up, living in the house. Now, DDP turned his attention to Scott Hall.
Oh, really?
Scott Hall is going to be moving into the house and undergoing sort of the same type program.
Oh, nice.
As Jake the Snake Roberts. Part of this with both...
Will he still sing?
But part of the... Oh, I hope so. Part of the Scott Hall and Jake Roberts cleanup crew through Diamond Dallas Page is in conjunction, apparently, through Hunter Hearst Helmsley himself.
Mm.
Because there is actually serious talk at this point of both those men going into the Hall of Fame this year.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to clean them up. They figure they got a one-shot deal for both of them to get cleaned up and go in. So this is sort of the DDP's detox, I guess, to get them going, for the possibility to get them into the Hall of Fame. So... That's,
I believe it. Well, he's a yoga instructor now, right? That's what they said on
Jake Roberts?
Raw 1000 when he came out. DDP's a yoga
instructor. Oh, DDP is.
And they're doing the build-up for it. DDP's a yoga instructor now.
Really?
He teaches yoga now. Huh. That's what, like, I think it was like Lawler said. They didn't go into any details or give him any credit for creating those systems. He teaches yoga now.
Right.
It's like a bury him thing, the way they did it.
He teaches yoga now.
Yeah.
You know who Arthur Gorman is?
Yeah.
No. He does.
Do you know who Kurt Pellegrino is?
No.
He does DDP yoga.
He does DDP yoga. Used to
be called YRG.
We have not talked about Total
Nonstop. Regular guys.
Really? We haven't talked about Total Nonstop Action much because so much has been happening in the world of WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot going on in TNA. We mentioned that they have a pay-per-view, and we'll kind of leave it at that because there's, three matches announced. But the Pope is done with TNA now, officially. Rosita and Sarita are both
Pope is
done
as a wrestler. That's it. He's done.
Yeah.
And he, I look at him, and I think that's just... I don't know what it is.
It's too bad.
But he's one of the guys who I'll look back on and go, potential unfilled for a career. Just potential unfilled.
Again, but he became his own worst enemy as well.
Yeah.
You know, is the mouthy guy. Right? Yeah. So.
Yeah, mouthy guy and you know, a little fragile.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
No X.
No X.
That I know
no,
of.
I thought he was in the X division.
No, I don't. Oh. I don't think so.
They break easy. That's what happened to Sanjay Dutt.
The Fragile X division.
Fragile. Well, he broke his arm there, didn't he?
Yeah.
In the Ultimate X. It was Fragile Ultimate X.
Fragile. Yes. Yes.
Oh. Daniel.
Daniel. Christopher Daniels. Are we talking
Fallen
about him?
Angel. He was in that. Remember when he did that jump?
Yeah. He was in an Ultimate X.
Bad influence.
Yeah. Yeah, you are.
That is tremendous. Well... You have something that you want to talk about as well in terms of win and loss.
Yeah, well, do we want to... Yeah, I guess we'll do this now. This is a good time as any.
It is.
Because one of the things I want to talk about is we're looking towards, going towards WrestleMania. And we do talk about how generally the business... we're in a up period. We got The Rock there and we got WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But overall in the year where ratings are down, things are, not the best. And part of it is that we talk all the time about wins and losses mattering and not mattering and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to kind of talk a little bit about the wins and loss records for 2012. These were compiled and put into the Wrestling Observer newsletter.
Mm.
And I've taken some of what they have. I've kind of taken guys who've wrestled 100 matches or really, really damn close.
Okay.
And compiled it by win percentage.
The regular guys on the road kind of thing.
Yeah, guys who are more regular wrestlers. And there's a lot of guys. For instance, AJ Lee, for instance, was... despite the fact that she might have had more television time than anybody in the company this year, only actually had 40 matches for the year.
Well, that's true.
And
yeah,
she won 20 and lost 20, right? So. Yeah, exactly. You got guys like, you have Big E Langston. He has 9 wins. He's 9-0 for the year. So, there's no sense in talking about
him.
And
that would be NXT, right? You wouldn't even be on the main roster, probably.
It would have to be in the main roster. It would be dark matches, that type of thing.
What are you saying? Before the cameras.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, no, that's exactly what I mean. You know, some guys like the Usos didn't wrestle 100 matches this year, surprisingly.
Really?
But, so if I was to say to you, let's go top six. because I think that's where it stops getting interesting. I'm going to ask you, who do you think were the top six guys, according to who had 100 matches or more win percentage this year within WWE?
Like, well, who's the most winningest guys then?
Win percentage, yeah. Okay. 100 matches or more. Because, I mean, a guy like Rey Mysterio only had, like, 58 matches because of injury, right?
Right.
You know, so.
Well, I think Sheamus has got to be up there because he was getting a push.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, for quite
Where do you think he might rank?
Oh, but not in the four, maybe?
Four would be good, yes. That's exactly where he ranked.
Okay.
He's fourth this year. He had 220 matches. He had the most matches since 1995 that the WWE had, actually, this year. He was their workhorse, actually.
Wow.
And he won 192 of those. And he had an 893 win percentage.
192 matches that he won?
Yeah.
189 that goes against Dolph Ziggler.
He lost 23 times all year.
Yeah.
So,
okay. I'm trying to think. Is Randy Orton on that list?
Yes. He's right behind him.
Yeah.
It's actually quite a drop-off, though. We're looking at an 893 win percentage. Randy Orton goes to 778.
Okay.
He only had 120 matches this year. He had some health issues, of course, during the year. But Randy Orton continues to be, you know, safe. Push safely, so.
Right.
Yeah. Ryback, of course, is number one. I'll just throw that one out there. I mean, the guy was undefeated for the longest time, right?
Yeah. I was going to say Ryback.
130 matches. He has the highest winning percentage, 969.
Now, as shitty as you want to say his year was, John Cena's got to be on that list.
Yeah. John Cena's number three.
Yeah.
John Cena, who had the worst year of his career, had 181 matches and 163 of them for a 926 win percentage.
Well, you talk about that, though. I mean,
but that's
house shows.
But this is exactly what I mean when they talk about how you had the worst win percentage, you know, and you're just, it's the worst year of your career. He won 926 win percentage.
But, again, when you're in London, Ontario, and Oshawa, Ontario.
You don't want to see him lose if you're the kids there who are there. You want to see him go over.
Well, he wins the matches, but you could still say that he had the worst in the year, worst year ever by losing to The Rock at WrestleMania. I'd like to play it in more if he had lost to Brock.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been better in the story. I'll give that one.
He lost 13 matches all year.
No, but it's the ones that you did. He was the first guy to cash in Money in the Bank and lose it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Fail. He couldn't beat CM Punk.
Becomes... You want to send the crowd home at the house shows.
Right.
But it becomes the same thing. It's now house shows don't matter. And there was a point where house shows built...
House shows haven't mattered in...
It's been a long time. Yeah, it's probably a decade at least. But I think that's one of the things that actually may lead to the business being on a downturn. I really do think that if house shows don't matter at all, if people, you know...
It doesn't help, obviously, but...
If the house shows... If a John Cena loses and it's meant to... Do you... If you see John Cena lose at a house show... But when it's over, you want to see him kick his ass on the pay-per-view, then that's good for business.
Well, kind of. But the thing is, and I agree with you there, but the way that they've built their business now is that the WWE is the Harlem Globetrotters.
Well, that's exactly it.
It's the thing that comes to town once a year, once every 18 months, and you go and you see, you know, the guys you see on TV, and that's it, right?
So you haven't brought up the guy with the second highest winning percentage.
The second highest winning percentage, would that be CM Punk?
No.
Okay. No, I just...
Brodus Clay.
Really?
Brodus Clay wrestled 163 matches. He won 154.
That's a lot of shucking and jiving.
That's a luck of shucking. He had almost the same win percentage as Ryback. Ryback is 969. Brodus Clay is 951. John Cena is 926. So you really think about that, despite the fact that we're talking about him no longer getting a push.
Right.
I mean, his win percentage is unbelievable. And then I'll say number six. The number six guy, again, somebody you wouldn't think of, so I just throw it out there, is Sin Cara. Sin Cara is the sixth best win percentage. He wrestled actually only 99 matches, but I figured it was close enough, and he won 76 of them. But
he had 99 matches, and Aces and Eights wasn't one, right?
That's right. After that, you have Layla.
That's a lot of Layla.
Yeah, so, I mean, really what you're looking at here, though, is Babyface Ryback, Babyface Brodus Clay, Babyface John Cena, Babyface Sheamus, Babyface Randy Orton, Babyface Sin Cara, Babyface Layla even. And then you have your first heel, which is Antonio Cesaro.
Okay.
So Antonio Cesaro had the most wins of any heel. He only had 108 matches, he had the most wins. After that, right below him, at almost the exact same win percentage, Santino Marella. Who you wouldn't have thought of in the top 10.
Well,
Santino Marella's win percentage is higher than CM Punk's. As much as we talk about 414 days, or 420 or whatever it is now, CM Punk's win percentage is lower than Antonio Cesaro, than Santino Marella, than Randy Orton, than Brodus fucking Clay. It's actually almost the exact same as Kofi Kingston.
See, this is you know, statistics, but I think you really got to pull it out to look at the Tale of Two Cities here. I would like to know what the television wins and losses and the pay, like what are the important
matches,
right? Because again, house shows, Santino would have won every house show. Opening match, house show, pull out the Cobra, and
Michael
McGillicuddy.
Santino had, I think it was...
if you pull on television, Brodus Clay, how many times did he beat JTG and Kurt Hawkins?
Well, JTG had the... I mean, he's not on here because he only had, like, 62 matches.
I'm just saying, though.
But he had, like, two wins in 62 matches.
I'm just saying...
He has, like, the worst, you know...
Even on television, Brodus Clay beating losers...
Well, Santino Marella, I can tell you this right now. He had the 5th most matches of the year, like opponents facing each other the most times. He and Jack Swagger faced each other 47 times. He won 42 of them, and that's the majority of Santino Morella's. I mean, he beat a complete shithead basically. In Swagger, he beat him 42 out of 47 times.
Yeah, and I mean, it's...
And that does skew it. But I just think it's interesting to see him or Kofi Kingston. I see a Kofi Kingston versus, get more than CM Punk. I can tell you his win percentage is equal to CM Punk because you wouldn't think of them on the same level. But win percentage-wise, it is. But again, one of the most matches, he had, 53 wins versus Primo, and he had 53 matches against Kingston. Had 53 against Epico, and he won 45 of each of those, which means that he had a bunch of tanky matches against them, not all with R-Truth, and that skews the number again.
Well, I was going to say, that's the other part, but...
But again, it's just interesting to see how wins and losses maybe don't matter, as far
really?
As positioning on the... Yeah.
Well,
let's get to that.
Let's go to CM Punk's promo.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're the best wrestler, if it doesn't matter if you're the best overall entertainer.
Well, for instance, what do you think the win percentage is for Daniel Bryan and Kane, for each of them?
Well, they'd be low. I mean, when you talk about Bryan kicking off the year in fine fashion, then 18 seconds, or whatever it was, 37 seconds, 18 seconds, and then, losing to Punk, and then he won the tag titles, I don't know, what are we, 600?
His win percentage is 446.
Okay.
So his tag team partner is Kane.
600?
436.
Okay, well there you go. I mean,
so there's your tag team champions, and they're both baby faces.
Yeah.
And they're both below 500. I was really surprised to see Kane at 4. He wrestled 194 matches.
But let's look at
he's
Kane.
The guy,
no, Kane doesn't surprise me at all, because Kane was the guy... propping up John Cena's winning percentage on the house show.
That's
the
probably
whole,
true.
The whole first
couple months there,
That makes sense.
So there's that.
And then he lost to Punk, and I'm sure he was being fed to Punk on the house shows as well.
Maybe.
You know, in that three-way.
Well, Daniel Bryan certainly would have been as well.
Yeah.
That said, Kane, by the way, is the guy who right now is about, I think it's just over 400 matches away from being the most matches in WWF history, moving ahead of Bret Hart.
Well, he's got the most matches in Raw history, apparently.
Yeah, that's
or
bullshit.
No, didn't he have the most wrestling? It was in wrestling history, didn't
he? Yeah. There was some bullshit.
He
is actually legitimately, 400 away from Bret Hart. Of course, a bunch of Bret Harts aren't actually recorded, so Bret Hart's actually probably a good 15% higher. Right now, Bret Hart has, 2,500 matches in WWE history is what the record book says.
Yeah.
But their guess is probably closer to 3,000.
Why aren't they recorded?
I don't know. There's some sort of bookkeeping thing, but
right.
But
did Bruce tell you this?
No, oh. but Kane right now is at 21 or 2,100. So he actually could end up being, if you can see him, he wrestled 194 times this year. So if he has two more years like this, pretty much you're going to see him go ahead.
WrestleMania 14, it was his first WrestleMania, and we're coming up on 15 years later.
Yeah, almost 16. Yeah, 15. Yeah, I mean, so Will he wrestle for 2 to 3 more years? Probably. So he probably will end up being their number one guy. He's the only guy who could catch Bret Hart, really, out there. That you can see.
For now, yeah.
So, former World Heavyweight Champion Big Show is at 400.
Pounds?
And probably both. He had 212 matches. He had almost as many, and he's a worse win percentage than Tyson Kidd at 445.
Yeah.
Big Show has a worse win percentage than Tyson Kidd.
Yeah.
Big Show has a worse win percentage.
You say this like these things mean anything.
Well, that's exactly it. It's just, I think it's fascinating.
I would rather look at the television numbers because, again, the house show move is set.
Well, but I have thought of this as being a very dominant year for Big Show since he turned heel.
Yeah, and it has been.
But it apparently hasn't.
It has.
Yeah,
of course it has. Again, John Cena's had the worst year, and you said what? Because why? Because Kane was fed to him for the first couple of months. Then the Big Show was fed to him over the summer on all the house shows. That's just how, like, and
so
every
you
figure house shows are 4 times a week, correct?
That's true.
So those are four matches, 4 out of, let's say, in one month, they have 16 house show matches. And
okay.
They have a total, let's just say, of
no,
21.
No, not just saying this later.
They have 21
no,
matches.
Wait,
I don't give
about,
a fuck.
It's about to run out of power here. So that's why. I just want to get this out before we lose it here, and then you can come back
to it.
Your mom? So who do you think had the very worst win percentage of anybody? That had 100 matches or more.
Oh, had 100 matches or more. Had the absolute worst. Heath Slater.
You'd be correct.
Yeah.
And after just ahead of that is Jack Swagger.
Mm-hmm.
And just ahead of that is the man with the Money in the Bank who's going to be World Heavyweight Champion, again,
yeah,
proving that you can be a... I guess it just means to me you can be a main eventer and never win a match. Or at least put in the main event, or upper mid-carder, or main event guy, because Dolph Ziggler's going to be up there, and here he is. He is the third worst win percentage in the company. The Miz is right next to him. And then you have O'Neil and Darren Young.
Of course.
Natalya, again, is somebody who... And again, these are all heels, right? I mean, you look at Slater heel, Swagger heel, Ziggler heel, Miz heel for almost
all
the year.
Again,
that's what it comes down to. Natalya,
Natalya
is being a heel and babyface. She's the worst woman's record. And, again, she's seen as a comedy character. So what you generally have is comedy characters losing and not a lot of, heels winning.
16 out of 21 matches a month are on the house shows that don't count.
The next highest winning percentage behind Antonio Cesaro for a heel is Wade Barrett. So,
yeah.
And then after that, the next highest is Damian Sandow, and he's not even 500.
And the barrage.
So.
Yes. Wow.
Most frequent match of the year, Alberto Del Rio versus Sheamus, 61 times.
Ah.
John Cena versus Big Show happened 55. Kingston and Trio then... Kingston versus Primo and Epico, we talked about that, and that's why I say Trio, because it seems like it's three-way. But, and Santino Marella versus Jack Swagger, 47. If Swagger had been around the whole year, probably would have won it. But yeah, so that's just kind of it. You don't need to bother plugging in. That's kind of the whole thing. But I didn't think that Del Rio versus Sheamus was the most match. I probably would have said it felt like Ziggler.
Take your phone out.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, Del Rio versus Sheamus, I knew it happened a lot. I didn't feel to me like that was the most booked match they had this year. But again, you look at the win percentages here, and I think it'd be very interesting. I don't think they were in there. At least I didn't see them, though. I didn't get through the whole thing quite too. But I don't know what the win percentages is for TNA. I wonder how different their philosophy is, though, for heels and babyfaces. It's got to be quite different. I mean, if I was to guess who's their number one guy, it would be Austin Aries.
But is he a heel or a babyface?
Well, I mean, a heel for probably 10 months out of the 12, right?
I'd say maybe 8 and 4, let's say.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah, because Destination X was July. So if you have July, August, September, so and you give a little bit on either side, I'd say 4 months.
Maybe. I don't even think that.
So,
really,
3 and 9 then, at least.
Yeah, okay.
It's
okay,
definite 3 and 9.
Okay, probably 3 and 9. But Bobby Roode's got to be up there, I would think. So, I would think, it's very different year, I mean, for them. I think that just if we could see that, I think we'd see kind of one of the differences in their booking philosophy. One of the things I actually probably prefer about TNA over them is the feeling that, you know, as long as the main event, the last match is a great match and and the heat of babyface goes over, the heels can win the rest of it. Whereas in WWE, it's the heels lose everything.
Right.
The heels never win, and they can lose constantly because they're heels. And you talk about this is
your mom?
No. Something that's... We talk about how it's on house shows. Dolph Ziggler wasn't all on house shows. You know what I mean? Like, Dolph Ziggler lost a lot on TV. And it is... At some point in time, it damages the idea of... Like, yeah, they're heels, they can lose. But I just... Too much is too much. And when they were making a lot of money, I don't know that we would have seen this quite the same percentages.
I don't... Again, I go back to... Again, I keep saying it. 16 out of 21. Right? 16 out of 21 matches aren't on television and don't matter.
Yeah.
And when you look at...
What do you think? Do you think Ziggler's percentage is much more than 200 on television, though?
No. And I'm not going to say, but it's for him, no. He's someone that doesn't matter. Big Show, Kane,
even Big
John
Show.
Cena,
I bet you if we were looking at Big Show, it wouldn't be as dominant as we thought.
John Cena is the flip side, though.
Yeah.
John Cena is the dummy. You can put over his worst year because, again, not only big matches, but.
If he lost eight matches, he probably lost, I'd say, five of those on TV. John Cena.
Yeah, exactly.
He probably went 25 and 30 on TV or more. Probably maybe 45 and 5 on TV is probably what he went to if he had 50 TV matches. I bet you he went 45 and 5.
Yeah.
It's just that it's all about how you sell it. I mean, it's not the announcers and talking about it. If you highlight those ones, those are what people are going to remember. If they highlighted the wins, that's what people would be talking about.
No, it doesn't matter because, like...
No, but that's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter. Like, they're highlighting the losses, even though his percentage isn't that bad. And that's what gets over.
His percentage is bad, though, because the problem is that when you're talking about, because this is a quote-unquote, or a simulated, but quote-unquote combat sport,
yes.
Okay, that, and you're talking about rankings and contenders and such, but if you're going to have the same conversation as win percentage,
yes.
You have to bring that in. And the fact that we'll go with bro number two, Brodus Clay, beating JTG and Heath Slater and Tyler Rex and da 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 does nothing for his career.
No.
John Cena beating Heath Slater on Saturday Morning Slam and losing to The Rock at WrestleMania makes him 500. You can have the worst year of your life beating Heath Slater on Saturday Morning Slam.
I bet you he had 50 TV matches and went 45 and 5.
Yes. Against who, though? And that's what I'm saying is you can sell the worst thing if the matches that are important are the ones that you lose. Chris Jericho can't win the big one.
He lost three important matches this year. And Chris Jericho had like a 350 winning percentage.
Just saying, can't win the big one. Remember that?
Yeah. He had like a 350 winning percentage. Legit. Like, but the thing is, what I'm saying with John Cena is there's three matches to stand out, right?
But you're using these win percentages like it matters.
No, I'm not. It's a discussion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. It's a discussion. You're taking it way too seriously or way too personally here.
No,
it's just a discussion.
If you throw it the road, I just want to see the TV one.
Okay, well, I'm trying to say this to you. I bet you John Cena.
Well, would you hurry up?
I bet you John Cena went 45 and 5. And I'm agreeing with you here. You're not even listening to it.
Because I'm right.
John Cena went 45 and 5, I'd say. I think I can remember probably on TV this year. There's three matches he lost that I can think of off the top of my head. He lost to CM Punk for the title here recently. When was that?
Survivor Series. Freeway, yeah.
Yeah, he lost that one. He lost to The Rock, obviously.
Yes.
And he lost once to Big Show.
Okay.
I can't remember the other ones.
John Laurinaitis.
He lost to John Laurinaitis. Okay.
Because of the Big Show.
And he lost to the Big Show.
He lost to CM Punk when he cashed in Money in the Bank.
There's five. So there you go. So I mean, that's
Or did he win by DQ? I don't remember. He was a DQ because didn't Big Show interfere?
Oh,
that?
I think he did win by DQ, and that's why he failed to tag. But it doesn't matter. Yeah. The point is, though, that he got beat up by Brock Lesnar.
And he lost to Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, he lost to Dolph Ziggler. And he got beat up by Brock Lesnar, even though he won. The image is that he got the shit kicked out of him. So, I mean, these are the things that stay with me. It is probably more significant when he loses because it's like, holy shit, John Cena lost that. You never see that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas it happens. It's the same thing for... I thought Randy Orton probably this year had a much lower winning percentage than he did just because he hasn't been pushed, like, to the top of the card. And it seems like he has lost on TV. It seems like he has been doing jobs and, you know, just because they don't have anything for him. And yet he's not. He is winning all the time. It's just, again, one of those things.
Well,
where
he was
just,
off
just,
for 60 days.
It was, yeah. I wonder why. But it sticks out more when it's a guy that you never think of losing. Actually loses, it actually means more, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't remember, you know, the matches that Dolph Ziggler lost because it's all of them,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, I can actually remember the matches he wins.
I was going to say, it's
more
the opposite.
When
he wins,
it's
right?
the opposite,
yeah.
you know? But, yeah, I mean, John Cena's, I mean, those we mentioned a few of the matches on TV he lost. And again, what did he win this year? Well, I saw him beat Ziggler a few times. You know, I saw him beat Big Show a few times.
Yeah.
You know, and then you see him beat, yeah, like.
He beat Punk at the go-home show to the Survivor
Series. Yeah, exactly. So, and he, you know, he wins his matches,
game.
Too. And then, yeah, you see him, yeah, yeah. But those don't feel important. And it is about
I guess
the
what
important
I'm saying
wins.
Is that I've never
I don't feel like there's been any important wins, and that's what they're talking about.
Yeah.
That's,
and I've never used kind of like you used even like Randy Orton.
My point is here is I don't think there's a balance. I'm not saying that it matters that much, but what I'm saying is it's not so unimportant that it should be completely tossed out because we talk about wins and losses not mattering. This is one of the things. It's just that they don't have a good balance in their win percentages.
I think we toss it out. I think we toss it out. yeah. That's all. No. I think that the reason that we don't use winning percentages is, as I said, goes back to 16 out of 21 because those matches don't matter.
Yeah.
And so that skews everything, is the fact that those matches don't matter. I agree with you, but, I mean, I can also look at guys like, as I said, I mean, you've got Ryback's push was based on a winning percentage being undefeated.
Right.
Or you know.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
Antonio Cesaro, while not highlighted, is getting over by winning.
Yeah.
Right?
Again, CM Punk, longest reigning champion, though, and, like, eighth or ninth best winning percentage. So, I mean, again, I just think it's not that it's totally that important. I say it's more, I think
important
it's...
at all.
I think it's more that it's A, it's interesting, and B, I think if we were to look at it, I think that if they had a guy like Ziggler, I think if his win percentage was 400, it's fine. I think when it's 200, it's too many losses, and it actually hurts them, even if they're house shows. Like, I just think there comes a point where...
I don't think it's a house show. Again, house shows don't matter.
And to me, and that's where, again, I disagree. I think what you see in the house shows can still make people want to see something elsewhere. At least that should be the mentality it once was.
But it's not
anymore. No.
And that's what I said. They don't.
So they don't count. I'm saying they should count. There's a difference.
Well, yeah, they should. But you're using numbers that have, and are trying to deal with some stuff. And that's my problem with it is that those things. If you're saying Ziggler has a 200%, yeah.
Let's put it this way. When I say they don't count, and I agree with you,
yeah.
But they should.
Right.
The only reason they don't count is because they treat them like they don't count. If you just made the slight philosophy change, increase its win percentage to about 400, and treated it like it's very, very simple. It could count. That easy.
Dolph Ziggler could win every match on the house show, and then that would make his percentage, let's say 500, let's just say,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't matter.
I disagree.
Wouldn't matter a fucking lick.
I disagree. I think it would help a little.
It would not matter because the 4,000 people in London, Ontario that see Dolph Ziggler win, that doesn't matter. House shows don't matter, and it doesn't matter. So therefore, because the shows themselves don't matter, it doesn't matter if you win or lose on them because the shows, if a tree falls in the forest, right? It's the same way they talk about The Rock, and they talked about maybe with the rating how they were going to do it. Well, the only time they promoted that The Rock was going to be on Raw was on the New Year's Eve Raw that nobody saw.
Mm-hmm.
So that didn't actually really drive anybody. It was the commercials probably during the week that they had all over the place on USA Network saying Rock's going to be on fucking Raw
mm-hmm.
that people saw to tune in.
I think it's more just people were flipping channels that came across.
Well, that could be too.
I don't know
that many people flip channels anymore, but that gets through the guide and stuff. But it was the VCS game being such a blowout, right? But,
I think they were just kind of,
But I mean, so that's the same mentality to me is that if you promoted the fuck out of something that nobody sees, then it doesn't matter. And so win, lose, draw,
I don't think it matters a lot, but I think it matters a little
bit. The concept of the
I think it creates an overall feel. The matches are unimportant, and I think when the matches are unimportant, it becomes really, really difficult on pay-per-view, live events, TV ratings, whatever, for people to think, I got to tune in for this match. In fact, they did have a percentage on there talking about most segments that won and lost the most viewers.
Right.
There was a couple matches that were in there for gaining most viewers, like Rock versus John Cena versus Big Show. I think might have been the segment that gained the most viewers, and it was a match to see who would main event for SummerSlam. Like, you know, so occasionally they still can. But you also saw an awful lot of matches that were the big losers. Like, you know, like Kofi Kingston and Brodus Clay against Primo and Epico. You know, because it just, again, it doesn't matter. But that is it. It doesn't matter if it doesn't matter. But. I think it's just part of just the overall feel and package of WWE.
Hmm.
It's entertainment and they're nothing.
But the
these don't
are
matter.
Real.
The hazards are real.
No.
So anyways, I don't 100%, you're right what you're saying. Like, I understand your philosophy. I just think that it is something that's a little more,
So how do you make them mean more?
Like I said, we talked about this a lot in the past.
I mean, but that's the whole thing.
But that's
I mean,
it's only part of the thing, the house shows. It has to be an overall philosophy change to make matches mean more.
Yeah, I agree with that because they just don't. But I also think that in some instances, I don't know that everybody. Again, I'm talking about Brodus Clay and the winning percentage and where he is now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Barely on, and not really good. You know, he's gonna have a stare down spot probably as a big man in the Rumble.
Yeah,
but
against like a Big Show or something like that.
But he won't. Yeah. But he's not gonna have a Mania match.
Nah.
You know what I mean? So it's they had a shot with him and Big Show over the summer.
Yeah.
You know, to maybe give him that serious edge and
yep.
kind of that went the way of the dodo. But it's a situation where, like we said, the total philosophy of wins and losses has to change.
Yeah,
and
it's part of it.
And I think if you do it, but the thing is, if you do it on television,
mm-hmm.
The trickle down is going to be the house shows thing.
Yep.
If you're going to make the wins and losses matter,
yep.
then they're going to matter for the house show.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't remember, though, when we're actually counting wins.
Again, their philosophy when putting on a house show is come to be entertained, not come to see who wins.
No, it's come to spend money.
Wow.
Buy a ticket, buy the merchandise.
Because we're going to entertain you.
Well,
not because
yes.
you're going to see who wins or loses.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're going to see the stars of television are going to be in your hometown.
Exactly.
That's what it is. I said it's like a Harlem Globetrotter type feel,
yeah,
right?
It absolutely
but,
is. Yeah.
I just think that it would have to be consistent, and I don't know that. I said no wins and loss sports presentation. I guess the Bound for Glory series, the second one here,
mm-hmm.
worked to a certain degree. It wasn't perfect, but it worked probably better than anything else, because you think back to
matches matter. They made
they
even
did,
matches
they did, and that was
matches
really
I couldn't
good.
Cared about or shouldn't have cared about.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I had somewhat of an interest in.
What was good about it? I mean, the year before they fucked it up, the Bound for Glory. You
oh,
go back
Russo
to
was
the,
still there.
You go, yeah, but you go all the way back to the AWA and the Team Challenge series. That did not go well
mm-hmm.
Because it was an idea, but it didn't execute. I think WCW in the early 90s had some. They had rankings that weren't really based so much on wins and losses. It just kind of the odd.
They did have rankings when we used to watch Power Hour there
yeah.
on TSN. They would have, yeah.
But
yeah.
they weren't really sort of defined, I guess.
No,
I mean,
no.
it would happen that if number four beat number
two, I like the idea of rankings, and TNA tried to bring back rankings, and then, unfortunately, part of the problem with the rankings was they're asking for fan picks as well, and they're voting out Nigel McGuinness.
And Matt Morgan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they weren't, you know, so they threw it out pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't in their philosophy. And again, at the end of the day, you have to keep in mind. It's a work, and no matter what the fans want, to a large degree, they're going to give you what they think you want, or what they think you should want, or what they want.
And to an ultimate degree, it should be the promoter leading the fan, not the fan leading the promoter.
If they know what the fan wants.
Yes,
it comes
right.
back. To
I
me
mean,
it comes
is
back
what the fan wants, but you're right. I mean, it's
yeah.
just...
It comes back to, well, it's like John, or about the CM Punk thing here. He's talking about how Daniel Bryan, instead of being a great submission machine, is a... You know, doing catchphrases, put a smile on his face doing catchphrases, and Little Jimmy, the invisible kid, Little Jimmy is better positioned in the company than Tyson Kidd. And the crowd starts to cheer. Because again, it's similar to the pipe bomb, it's that type of thing. But what he's saying is true, but he's saying it because he knows it's going to get your reaction. But it's like he's leading the crowd, But on the other hand, if he doesn't actually understand that, that what he's saying is true, and he's not actually, if he's not actually aware of the business and aware of what people are thinking, people who are smart to the business are thinking, if he isn't part, if he isn't in tune with that, he can't even go there, and he can. So he gets it, but he also gets how he can use it to his advantage. And that's what we're talking about with the booker and the promoter, is they should get what the fans want and use it to their advantage and lead them.
To know how to get, exactly, to lead them how to get to what they want, So,
which is why The Rock should win the belts at Royal Rumble.
Which is why The Rock should win the belt at Royal Rumble, why John Cena should win the belt at WrestleMania, and, you know, and just... You know, that's all makes perfect sense, right?
And why Triple H should still lose to Brock Lesnar.
And why, yeah, exactly, why Triple H should lose to Brock Lesnar, why you should then, again, do, if you're going to, if Brock Lesnar is going to re-sign, again, you still have time to do the idea of Brock beating up The Undertaker.
Absolutely.
The day after WrestleMania.
And I think it's very likely he will re-sign. Will it be the exact same deal? We'll see. But I think it's very likely.
I think it'll be the exact same deal because I think they got their money's worth.
Yeah, I think
so. You know
so.
What I mean? Like,
I think I would like about 10 more appearances. I think he's had two long stretches out. But maybe that's just because of how they used it as well.
Because it seemed like they were hot-shotting him.
Yeah.
There was that talk back even in April and such that they using were using up all the too much. Exactly. Yeah. So, but as it stands, no Brock in January. He's not scheduled until February now, So no Royal Rumble probably for Brock there. You
do
know.
You think he comes back with a surprise, or does he come back with an advertised moment? I think it's going to be a surprise. I think he's going to show up.
You know what? I'm okay with a surprise on television for his debut because you've got the Rock machine going, right? Or you will have the Rock.
Yeah.
You'll be in WrestleMania, you'll have...
You're already gonna have I think a big you know moment, a big audience, and then all of a sudden that point comes when his music hits, and everyone go, oh fuck yeah, here's him, here's Brock too.
Here we go, and we go back.
Because that'll create buzz.
Well, let's talk about when TNA was working. We kept talking about how different guys were on television at different times. You'd have the Park Bubba thing, and you'd do some with Aries.
You didn't need everybody every week.
Now you didn't need everybody every week, and now here you're going to go to the Royal Rumble. You're going to have the day after the Royal Rumble. Then you're going to be in February. Then you could do the Undertaker return, right?
Yeah.
Then you can have, again, the Rock.
The only thing, yeah.
Then you can look and have Brock do, a return. Because you can have your two matches of the Punk. I would set Brock and Hunter third after you've got the Rock. And Cena and
Rock wins the title. Let's just say Rock wins the title of Royal Rumble. They don't fuck that up.
Right.
He defends it at Elimination Chamber or not? If it's up to you.
Definitely not. Contract signing, if it's up to me.
Contract signing is okay. I think he should defend. I think the fact that he gets it and defends it successfully a couple of times,
maybe once on
TV. Maybe
the Punk rematch at the Elimination Chamber. I don't put Rock in the chamber.
I think it's even okay to put him defending the title once on Raw. Because I think the idea that he successfully defended it, it's going to be tough to get this off this guy, is part of the psychology you want to build up.
At this point, you have to pay to see The Rock. I'm with that. Pay to see a Rock match. Now...
I think that's true for his first match. I think that's true for his first singles match. I think that's true for his match against Punk and against Cena. I don't think that's true for in between. I think you can do something on.
I
think you can defend it once
after
against
WrestleMania,
Dolph Ziggler.
I think after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I Rock match. Yeah, I can see a Rock match on free TV after WrestleMania.
I think it's okay for him to defend.
I don't fuck with his buy rate at all.
I don't think if he's going to defend a rematch against CM Punk, if he defends and successfully defends against a Dolph Ziggler or a Cody Rhodes, I don't think that in any way affects that buy rate. I don't think it does.
You just pay to see The Rock.
I don't think it. I think if anything, it sets the idea that The Rock has momentum. He's defending the belt.
You pay to see Rock, I think it's pay to see Brock.
Well, I would do it once, but I definitely think the idea that he successfully defended more than once before facing Cena is important. I like that.
Then at the chamber, that's what you have to do.
I'm okay with that.
I don't know. Do you do it in the chamber?
No, I don't. And this is one of the things where the chamber took to me how they have historically fucked this up. Again, I don't put any titles in the chamber.
Yeah, I'm.
And I only have
one chamber
one?
For the other titles champion. Yeah, I'm agreeing with you.
I don't have a single fucking title defended in the chamber. But if you do, it's only one, and I only have one chamber. I only have one chamber match, and preferably for the other number one contenders.
The U.S. title.
So, yeah, exactly. Like, I... no. But that's it. I mean, to me, the way they've booked the chamber in the past, if they use it and do it the same way this year, it's going to kind of fuck up plans. I don't know how you get around it.
Well, again...
And it has fucked up plans in the past.
Well, it has. I mean, yeah. And I just... Rock... Rock would have to win, and you know, whatever. I mean... You could do it. I don't like it.
No.
But... I think you just maybe you do the rematch with Punk and Rock at the chamber then.
Yeah, do like a last man standing or something. Some sort of gimmick match.
Yeah, you could do a gimmick match, I guess. Yeah. But if you're gonna do a gimmick match, you do the fucking chamber then.
Actually, to tell you the truth, let's say this: you just have the rematch, no gimmick match.
Yeah.
WrestleMania. Rematch.
Gimmick match.
Gimmick. And if so, what?
No, it's for the title.
So?
Cena and Rock, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's for the title. That's no
you
gimmicks,
don't do it?
No gimmicks needed. It's for the title.
Okay. If you did do one, what would you do?
Cena versus Rock. I'm trying to think of... if you did Cena versus Rock for the title, I would say Cena versus Rock...
I would just do, like, a pinfall count anywhere. Something simple. Just something to give a little more edge to it.
Yeah.
Historically, you don't see a lot of gimmick matches at WrestleMania.
You don't.
If you have one, last year you had the Elimination Chamber. What was it the year before?
Hell in Cell, you mean.
Or Hell in Cell, sorry. Yeah. What was it the year before? Was there any?
I don't think so, no.
I don't think so.
Yeah. I mean, they also had the, you want to say, like, winner becomes the general manager, like, that's a stiff.
That's a stiff,
right?
That's not
a
gimmick match.
It's not a gimmick,
and I don't really consider that, I guess the Money in the Bank sort of matches that they're having sort of was, but in some ways I don't consider, I'm talking
well,
like...
Well, it's a ladder match,
I'm talking,
it's a gimmick.
It's a gimmick, but I'm talking blow off to the feud gimmick matches.
Yeah.
You haven't really seen those on
retirement,
an awful lot.
Retirements, stiffs,
that's,
right?
That to me is a different, yeah, to me that's a real stiff.
Yeah.
If it's done, like, I mean, when it was, you know, Warrior and Savage, it felt like it was
well,
an important
Undertaker
step,
right? And Shawn, Flair
yeah.
and Shawn.
Yeah.
I mean, they've done these.
So
things,
they have, right? You do have, that's kind of it. So,
that's
I mean,
referees,
I, you know, that's probably the,
you
that,
your, you know?
That's probably the gimmick that's happened the most, I would say, is, might be the retirement matchups or the special referees at WrestleMania.
I think I would say your referee one.
Probably
I mean,
your referee
hell,
one.
The Hell in the Cell at the ref, right?
Yeah.
You've had Mike Tyson, you know.
Yep. You've, Mankind.
Yeah, Mankind.
Yeah.
I mean, so and or a celebrity involvement match, right?
Yeah.
Whether it's
you had Mick Foley too. Is it twice he's actually been a celebrity?
He was twice. He
yeah,
was a guest
special,
referee. Yeah. I mean, you had the Snooki, you had the Maria Menounos.
Yeah.
I mean, you had you know I guess Pete Rose wasn't in a match, but so.
And he was only announced once.
That's true.
Yeah.
But I can't put a stip. I mean.
I don't mind one stiff match.
But Rock
but
and Cena isn't
it.
The stiff to do because again,
no,
it's about
no, probably
the
not.
Line.
I mean,
it's about,
you had the ladder match. You had the ladder match, which became the first unofficial TLC match when you had Edge and Christian and the Hardys and the Dudleys, right?
What?
Edge and Christian and the Hardys and the Dudleys.
I remember that. I also remember one 7 years earlier.
What?
There was a guy named
Shawn
Michaels
yep.
and a guy named
yeah.
Razor Ramon
yep.
that had a
That's
ladder
right.
match.
They had a ladder match. There was one, yeah.
But you had the mixed, the year, WrestleMania
You had the submission
six.
Match or the I Quit match.
WrestleMania 6, you
Between
had the,
Backlund
the,
and
the
Hart.
First ever mixed tag match with Dusty and Sapphire.
That's right.
Against Sensational and Savage.
Yeah, that's right.
It was the first. You had the celebrity battle royal with the NFL players and the...
Oh, and you had, you know, the main event there was Hogan
cage,
and,
yeah.
and Bundy in a cage, yeah.
That's right.
So.
Did WrestleMania 1 have any stiff? Well, you had the 15,000 body slam for cash match.
Yep.
At WrestleMania. WrestleMania 3, you had the midgets. Little Beaver running around all over this place, right? I mean...
There was a little
you
Beaver.
You had
running.
That.
You were there.
WrestleMania 4 was all about a tournament.
Yeah.
You know.
And there was the Battle Royal, which at the time would definitely be considered a stiff match.
A stiff match, that's right. Yeah. WrestleMania 5, don't think you had anything.
I don't
in
think
the
so.
WrestleMania
5.
6, we said there's a mixed tag, was considered a stiff.
I suppose.
7, of at course, you had a
retirement match.
Well, yeah. There was 2 then at 7. Because it was a blindfold match.
That's right, the awful blindfold
between
match.
Jake, no, as opposed to the good blindfold match.
No, there's never been a good one.
Jake the Snake, of course, and Rick the Model Martel, blinded by arrogance, Jake the Snake. So you had that. WrestleMania 8.
On the Brother Love Show.
That's right, on the Brother Love Show. WrestleMania 8.
Mm-hmm.
Again, can't think of a stiff match that they had.
Hulk Hogan wasn't announced as retirement, though it was so heavily hinted.
That's
that was going to be his last match. WrestleMania 8.
Yes, 8.
We talk about Terry Funk, yeah, and he's probably going to wrestle another match. We talk about Terry Funk for fun's sake.
21 years ago, we knew his retirement. But yeah. WrestleMania 9, no stiff matches that I can think of at WrestleMania 9.
I guess not, no.
No. About
WrestleMania 10, of course, the one. WrestleMania 11, like I say, Backlund.
And I guess at WrestleMania 10, there was 3. In that you had the Falls Count Anywhere Savage and
that's
Crush.
Right.
That was really
shitty. Yeah.
You had the ladder we talked about. And you did have Doink and Dink against Luna and Bam Bam.
Yeah, I suppose.
Right? Sort of a mixed kind of deal, too. And midgets. So that's always cool, right? 11, you
little
had
people.
Little people.
You don't want to call them that other thing. It's offensive.
What? You're a midget?
it's offensive.
You did have
you see, they're little. You do. I like what Patton Oswalt said, that the nice thing about a little person is if you go over to them and you bop them on the top of the head, you get 3 gold coins.
Excellent. Yeah. Can you still believe in leprechaun?
He said, but you got to be careful, though, because you know, rustle an arm, little person, and you lose,
mm-hmm.
you become one, apparently.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
So that explains Chavo.
Little people's court. Yeah. Little charisma. then you've got WrestleMania 11.
Hey, let's check to see if they announced any more fucking matches with the pay-per-view.
Let's talk about more stiffs. WrestleMania 11. I'm going to WrestleMania 11.
All right, Backlund and Brett.
Backlund and Brett. We're talking about Lawrence Taylor and Bam Bam Bigelow.
Yeah, I suppose you consider that a stiff.
Celebrity involvement match,
yep.
I guess, is a gimmick match, right?
Yep. 12.
WrestleMania 12. Was there a stipulation match at WrestleMania 12? Do you think there was a stipulation match? Do you remember what Earl Hebner said at the beginning? It's an Iron Man match.
I suppose that is. Yeah, you're right. It's a stiff match.
Yeah. Obviously a stiff.
Yeah,
both falls in an hour. That's a stiff match,
it's a stiff match.
So
and WrestleMania 13 had the two. Had the Chicago Street
Fight. Had the shitty Chicago Street
and
Fight.
And the I Quit.
Had the I Quit.
That was the greatest match
was there
in
any more
in
WrestleMania?
Three?
There was a Hollywood backlot brawl at WrestleMania 12 as well.
There was, yeah.
So
that's right.
Yeah, I missed him there. WrestleMania 14 had the dumpster match.
Yeah.
Was there any other stiff matches Russo was booking?
I'm sure. I don't know.
WrestleMania 14.
I don't know.
Loser strips naked or something.
Probably.
Now we're getting the and 15.
Wasn't there a mixed tag match in that one too with Fable and?
Was it at 14? I don't think so. At 14,
no?
I think Mark Merrill was still hurt.
Oh,
well,
okay.
Mike Tyson was the special right at 14
yeah.
as well. So you had. Had that. There might have been a no. They didn't have the hardcore championship.
No,
no. That was later.
And I wouldn't really consider that a stiff match.
Well, they had the hardcore. When they did do that hardcore battle royal at WrestleMania 16, it's kind of a stiff because it was whoever was the last at the end of 15 minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
But at 15, you had the Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
With Boss Man and Taker.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. awful.
Yeah. You had we talked about the whatchamacallit there, the referee with Mick Foley, and they had the match actually to see who was going to be the referee.
Boiler Room Brawl.
No, that was a Backlash.
Was that a Backlash?
Backlash. Yeah, that was a Backlash.
Okay.
They also had a Battle Royal on Heat, and the last two winners in the Battle Royal fought the tag team champions. I forget it was like D'Lo Brown and Test or something.
Yeah.
There, so they did have that. WrestleMania 16 is when they had the three-way ladder match that would basically be a TLC.
Yeah, basically the first TLC
match.
And then they actually had a TLC at 17, as well as
they had a TLC at 17. They had the
gimmick battle royal.
Gimmick Battle Royal. That's it. They had the street fight with Vince McMahon and Shane McMahon
as well. Yeah.
Was there. I think at 16, that's also they had that Battle Royal, that hardcore Battle
I think
Royal
you're right.
thing
yeah.
there. Yeah, at 16. Yeah. Trying to think if there was any other well, was it called 16? It was WrestleMania 2000.
Oh, that's right. Fucking lame.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of...
Historically, now it's known as WrestleMania 16.
Yeah. WrestleMania 18.
Wasn't Brett, or sorry, Hogan and Vince was...
That was 19.
Oh, it was 19.
18 was Hogan Rock.
That's right.
So I don't know that there was any...
I can't think of any off the top of my head,
no. I can't either, so at 18. 19.
Wasn't Matt Hardy versus Jeff Hardy some sort of stip, maybe?
That was later, though. That was, like, way later.
I thought that was they've had their first one at 18, I thought.
No. Their first ever match was in and around that time, but that was
Wasn't that when...
And Lita Jeff, was the ref.
Wasn't it when Jeff tries to go off the top?
That giant ladder?
Yeah, or he has a chance to... No, that was on TV. Fuck, it's 12 fucking years ago.
No, that wasn't on TV. That was at Survivor Series in the cage.
Oh, that's right. And he's like, he has a chance to leave.
Yes, and he does it. He goes up, does it, crashes and burns. They lose. That causes the dissension. Then at the Armageddon, the following in December, Lita is the referee for the two against each other in an awful match.
So 19 has the street fight, though, with Hogan and Vince.
And the Hogan and Vince street fight. I don't know that there was any other...
off the top of my head, I can't think of one. No, and 20 had the three way, which is sort of a stiff match, but not really in the main event.
Yeah, not.
I mean, yeah, there was some sort of stiff between Christian and Jericho, with Lita or
Trish. Just turned. That's all.
Just
that
she turned. There was no sexual stiff.
Yeah, there was no stiff. And I'm trying to think. They had Brock and Goldberg, but
there's
then
no
Austin is the ref, I guess. Is the
sort of, yeah.
There.
That doesn't, I don't really count.
No, I'm not really either. But and then 21, this is where it all gets hazy now, right?
Yeah. It's amazing how we have more trouble remembering 8 years ago than we do 18 years
ago. Yeah, I know, right?
But no, I mean, that was, I mean, Cena wins his first world title, Batista wins his. I don't think there's a stiff match.
Those
are just matches. I can't think of anything.
I mean, at that one, 21 is when you started Money in the Bank, though. Right, so now you can kind of see Money in the Bank.
Has it been around that long?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Edge won the Money in the Bank that long ago.
What was the WrestleMania? I think it was 16, where it was Jericho and Angle and Benoit for both the IC... And the
Eurocontinental Championship.
In the same match.
Yes.
That's kind of a stick.
And Jericho won the European and Benoit won the Intercontinental.
And didn't Angle go in with both of them or something like that?
And he was the Eurocontinental Champion.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. I'm trying to think of, again, any other, any other stick matches that have been kind of big since. I mean, we had Hell in a Cell, we said, last year.
Has there been another WrestleMania with Hell in a Cell? Is that the only one? The only two, I guess.
Two. There's been the two. The Boss Man
the
and
two.
Taker. Yeah.
And, I mean, you got the McMahon in every corner type deal,
right? Well,
that
was the main event at 16.
Yeah, so that's kind of a stip, right? Four man.
It was an elimination match.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
It was an elimination, so you could say, you know, that's a bit of a,
And I think WrestleMania 20, I think you had two... separate world tag team championship match four-way elimination and and a WWE tag team elimination four-way
right. And didn't he have a cruiserweight battle royal that
something like that, a cruiserweight or gauntlet match or something like that?
Lots to choose from anyway, and I don't know that I'm going to be able to do the last like 8 years.
No, I'd have to actually go in reverse. Like, I'd have to go last year first, and I can't think of any. And then the year before, you know what I mean?
Again, there's some retirement matches in there. There's been some
retirement matches.
The Hell in the Cells in there.
I can't think of the Mayweather match,
right? If you're going to
celebrity matches. But I can't really think of
the Hughes celebrity match.
I mean, there's obviously the hardcore match between Edge and Foley.
That counts definitely.
Absolutely counts. Something like that. There's the Taker. Was it Taker and Flair? When was that?
18.
It was 18. That was wasn't that a false count anywhere or something like that match? It was
might have been. And I remember the one earlier at 17 with Hunter and Taker was like a no DQ type match,
right?
because they were off the stage or whatever there.
Yeah.
You got choked.
And there was,
the
I thought there was some sort of one of the, I thought, was it WrestleMania 20? There was some sort of gimmick between Kane and Undertaker again.
I don't know if there was a gimmick. I thought that was just a Return of the Dead Man.
Return of the Dead Man, yeah.
But I just remember that, yeah, that 18 match with Flair, that was had a Arn Anderson spine buster.
That's right.
Which was great.
Yeah.
And David Flair got the fuck beat out of him leading up to it.
That's right.
Also great.
Also great. Yeah, especially if he had shot on him.
Yeah.
Which he might have.
I'm trying to think of, again, when you talk about like WrestleMania 23, what happened at WrestleMania 23?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that was in Chicago, was it not?
That was the debut of CM Punk, is what you're saying?
I believe it was. and Hunter the Conqueror, remember?
Yeah. CM Punk is one of, dressed up as one of the mob guys for John Cena.
For John
one
Cena.
Of
the gangster guys.
Gangster
yeah.
guys, yeah. Yeah, I mean, again.
I mean, you've had the announcer's fight with Austin as the ref again. You know, Austin has been a ref quite a few times.
Yeah, he's been a ref a couple of times, two, three times. Again, though, it comes down to usually you see one, maybe two.
Well, nowadays, yeah.
Yeah.
And again, they're not all.
Well, even historically, if you go back to that.
Well, that's true. I mean, we're talking.
Really,
the height,
we're talking.
And I think what the most that we've had on one show was three.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
I mean, you could do one. And I don't think it's bad to do a rematch for one, but I guess you're right, if it's a belt, it's good enough. But I wouldn't mind one more. It's okay for them to put on one more stip match, especially if they've taken away Money in the Bank again. And
you know what I would actually enjoy at this point?
Did Angle... I know Angle and Benoit had a match, but was that a...
They had a ladder match, they had a most submission match, but none of those were at Mania.
Yeah, I was going to say the submission
Mania
match
was
wasn't Mania.
Straight,
okay.
straight
it was just
deal.
A straight wrestling match.
I think...
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it was.
Okay.
But what I will say is I just mentioned it at WrestleMania 1, and I'd like to see that return for if we're going to do Ryback in the Big Show.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put some money in it.
I like that.
Let's have Big Show now, starting in February, start offering money to anyone that can get him off his feet. You know, anybody that can pick him up and do
yeah,
blah,
get him
blah,
off
blah
his feet.
Right?
Yeah.
And do that, get him off his feet or what have you, right?
Even bring back, like, a Mark Henry for a one-shot and fail.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Bring back in...
Brodus Clay can fail.
Bring in some fucking NFL stars to fail. Bring in... You know what
bring
I mean?
Bring in Peter Taglianetti.
Maybe not.
Scott Steiner could fail.
Yeah, but yeah, seriously. Like I would do that. I think that's money.
Yeah, I do too.
Sure.
I
it's simple and it's money. Now, let's just quickly look and see if anything, and just for
Impact,
that TNA pay-per-view.
Oh,
like, I mean, what,
know
we know the world title is Austin Aries and Bobby Roode.
Bobby Roode
and
Austin Aries.
Jeff Hardy for a three-way for the title, which should be a very good match. I think that's going to be four-star. Of course it's four-star. That's why Austin Aries
okay.
is my wrestler of the year.
Yes.
Every pay-per-view match he has is four stars. He's the new Mr. Pay-per-view.
Tag team? Titles?
Yeah, it was the...
Morgan and the
Oregon.
Against the Mexicans.
What's the chance that we can see Morgan and the Oregon versus the Pink and the Stink? I would be...
Oh, see, there you go.
That would be...
you will then also have Sting against Doc.
Is that actually announced?
That was announced on the website. Yes, it was.
Oh, okay.
And another match was announced on the website, which I forget now.
Okay.
So let's look. Okay. Tonight... Angle will wrestle Anderson. Jeff Hardy and James Storm will face Rue and Aries. The Gut Check returns. Justin Bradley is one of the men competing in Gut Check. Jay Bradley, of course, right? Who's an ace?
Yeah.
Is an eight, so that will fill into that storyline of you know
the
guy.
So what's another? Who was the guy who was in there with?
Didn't say yet. Yeah, don't worry, we'll get there. Brian Cage.
Oh, okay. I don't know him.
So he's a apparently a California indie wrestler.
California.
Jay Meltzer knew
him
from that.
Yeah.
So X Division Tournament, Zema Ion and Kenny King, so Kenny King wins.
Okay. So Kenny King versus RVD at the pay-per-view?
It's a semifinal.
Oh, it's a semifinal.
So not yet.
Oh, that's right. At the pay-per-view is going to be the finals and then the match.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Yeah.
So there you fucking go. Oh, Joseph Park is back.
Well, I'm going to watch this fucking
yes,
thing
now.
Yes, now
I will actually just at least go to the Joseph Park thing.
Joseph Park will entertain me.
Jay Bradley wins the Gut Check.
Okay, that's to be expected.
So, obviously they have to do it next month, but
yeah.
then there's, so it'll be aces and eights.
What else we got?
Let's see here. Doc lost his match and earned a spot back. Now Mike Knox has to earn a spot back in Aces and Eights because he lost his match.
Okay, makes sense.
His mask, yeah, so...
Are they calling him Mike Knox?
I don't know.
Or is he still the Armbreaker?
I don't think they're calling him anything at this point. Well, they don't say it here, so...
Oh, they just call him the Armbreaker.
That would be good, yeah.
That's what they were calling him.
Well, that's right, they were. But they haven't in a while.
No, I know.
So...
They might as well, though. It's better than nothing. What else here? You got anything that actually led to a match? Anything at least the pay-per-view?
Just waiting. It's going to be Mike Knox against Sting, and Sting wins.
Yeah, of course, Sting always wins.
No, nothing in this report. So I'm going to Google. I'm just going to go to Impact Wrestling.
Oh yeah, yeah. You think they'll have the pay-per-view latest?
Well, whatever they have, you know, whatever the latest pay-per-view
added in
lineup is going to be
live on Sunday. I think it does seem like it's seems. What's the word? Optimistic. Oh, that's right. Bully Ray will probably show up and cut a promo. I'm sure he did it tonight on Hogan and that whole thing.
That's correct. Yeah, there we go.
I found that whole thing confusing that they're doing, but I guess it's moving the ratings.
Daniels and James Storm.
Okay, I'll watch that.
So right now they have the triple threat match, the tag team match, Doc versus the Icon Sting, and Christopher Daniels versus Cowboy James Storm. Those are the four matches announced right now.
And
we're going to go 5 and 6 because we'll go 7
Kenny
and final.
Kenny King versus who?
I don't know. Christian York?
Christian York, probably.
Maybe. And then RVD against Kenny King, right?
Yeah.
Would be what happens there.
Well, so that's 6 matches, and then you're probably, yeah.
And then you're going to have some Aces and Eights bullshit. You're going to have some Bully Ray bullshit. And I don't know what else. I mean, the women's match, maybe.
They have another title. I mean, D-Von has a belt.
Yeah, you could do an unannounced.
Yeah, that's right. You'll probably do something at the women's.
Yeah.
Women's match.
Samoa Mickey. Joe. I mean, Kurt Angle.
I hope we go back to that Mickey James and Velvet Sky. Her being jealous that she's getting all the opportunities.
I just want to go back to Mickey James.
Yeah, no fucking kidding.
When she was stretching last week, that was.
Oh my god, Piggy James. Yeah, she didn't look too fucking piggy there. She looked amazing.
No. So.
She looked amazing.
So yeah, we've ended on interesting. We ended on TNA.
Yeah.
So
we're sorry, folks.
Yeah, we're very, very, very sorry. Just thought maybe could get an update here. I'm just checking my notes on the Hitman, Bret Hart, and his status for Raw.
Is there an update available?
Yeah, well, here we go. For total nonstop action, they're going to cut back to 4 shows as live pay-per-views.
Okay.
Genesis, which is this Sunday. Lockdown, March the 10th.
Mm-hmm.
Slammiversary in June.
Mm-hmm.
And Bound for Glory in October. So they have 4 pay-per-views.
What about Destination X, which they have built up as being maybe the second or third biggest?
To fulfill their contracts, they're going to tape 3 3-hour shows and air them in monthly pay-per-views.
But with the gimmick that they put on Destination X that the X Division champion can catch, what the fuck are they doing getting rid of that show?
I don't know. Well, yeah, that's true, too. But, I mean, they're not saying that they're getting rid of the show. It's just not going to be a live pay-per-view.
Well, then what's the fucking point?
I don't know.
They're live on fucking Thursdays now, for Christ's sake. That doesn't matter. And you're not going to do pay-per-views live?
They're going to do... Basically, what's happening now is they're going down to 4 pay-per-views. Who knows? Maybe they'll make that stipulation happen at Slammiversary.
Yeah, that's no good.
You know, well, it doesn't fucking matter. It's better that they have 4 pay-per-views.
It is better that they have 4. It'd be better if they had 4 pay-per-views and not any taped ones. Actually, if they
only
had 4.
Okay, here's the taped ones. If you listen, film contracts are going to tape 3 3-hour shows and air them as monthly pay-per-view shows on the first Friday night of each month. That's it. So they basically don't have them.
Friday night.
They don't have them, is essentially what it is. That's just to fulfill the pay-per-view contracts. It's like basically just saying, you know,
I don't like Destination X anymore.
I got to show up for work. I don't give a fuck. They could do an Impact that's all X Division then. Who gives a shit?
not the same.
Genesis,
it's not.
Four pay-per-views.
You had
good.
You had,
quit
it
dwelling on the fucking No Destination X.
I'm fucking away. I wish it was Genesis. I wish Genesis can suck my balls, and Destination X should be.
What about Phil Collins?
What about?
Can he suck your cabals too?
Well,
of Genesis.
Hit my cabals.
Yeah. Well, you know what that would
cabals.
Be. You know what? You know what? Genesis sucking your balls is like an invisible touch. Tyson Kidd suffered a torn ACL and a fractured knee at a house show and will be out for a year.
You know what I say when I come?
Hmm?
Susudio.
Really?
Hmm?
Oh, is that the first time you've ever aired those words then? Oh. Tyson Kidd's out for a year.
It's like a war cry.
Okay, good.
Tyson Kidd out for a year?
Yes.
Okay, so I guess we'll see Evan Bourne return.
Yeah, well, exactly. El Generico. He's actually booked on the show here next Friday. Next Friday.
We're going to fucking try and get the scoop.
We'll see. Yeah, that's interesting.
We'll see.
Bret Hart will not be on the 20th anniversary of Raw. He was given word that they decided against it.
Okay.
So he'll be, of course, at the Rumble, the Fan Fest, but he'll not be on Raw.
Okay.
So.
I don't care. He's going to be at the Rumble Fan Fest. He's going to be. He won't be at Hart Legacy Wrestling, interestingly.
No.
Help you at the Rumble Fan Fest. Maybe he will be there. I just really doubt it.
People that were told to keep the date of Monday open have been told that the creative direction for Monday has changed and they're not going to bring stars back.
Why would you? It's only the 20th anniversary. Well, they're bringing back, as long as they bring back Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels, I give a shit what else they do.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. It hasn't been, it hasn't really been promoted that well anyway, so it doesn't. I mean, what are they going to do? Put it on their fucking website? I mean, you know.
All right, let's wrap this fucker up. Again, email us questions, concerns, comments. We really don't want to hear your concerns, but questions, comments. You're going to be at the Royal Rumble. Want to get a beer? Addie, Addie at WeTalkWrestling.com.
Yes.
You can reach us on Twitter at WeTalkWrestling. That's not too fucking hard. Other than that, let's see, we're on Stitcher.
Your penis is on Twitter?
It's not too fucking hard. Well, not now.
Oh.
I already said Susudio.
That's true. Now you want to have a nap.
I wouldn't mind.
Stitcher, iTunes.
iTunes, rank us, say comment.
Rate us, yeah.
Rate us, put us up there. You know, where are we now?
Like number six.
Yeah, number six, so yeah, that's we need to get, it's good, but we should be number one.
That would be true.
Look out for our blogs. They come sporadically, but they're great when they come.
Yeah, I am.
Kind of like me.
Doesn't work when we tell the same joke. But that's going to do it for another edition. As I said, WeTalkWrestling.com website.
We're OUT.
We're going to say in the meantime and in between time. That's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.